It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
The Dem presidential candidates are dropping like flies. Michael Bloomberg, who won American Samoa. That is huge. In fact, my understanding is all the salt shakers and 32-ounce Big Gulps have been removed from American Samoa since Michael Bloomberg had such a huge, huge showing in American Samoa. Hey, when you spend $700 million, you didn't come away empty. You came away with American Samoa. Most people don't know where American Samoa is. But I guarantee you, Michael Bloomberg does. Or Bloomberg, I should say. And the fake Indian, Pocahontas. She has confided with Chief Raging Badad. The announcement came from her teepee. She's out. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. It is your global five-star general and alpha male-in-chief from Command Center Alpha, where I am surrounded by thousands of magnificent cigars, hundreds of magnificent libations and spirits. I have Pendragon's Royal Baron, my canine security detail and companion, next to me. You can probably hear him chomping on one of those beef-flavored bones. No tofu-flavored bones for Baron. That I can tell you. German Shepherds do not like tofu. And I can tell you that my German Shepherd, Pendragon's Royal Baron, only meat products for him. He's chomping on the bone, nice and comfortable. I am surrounded by luxury. And of course, as always, we gather together as alphas to not only converse about alpha male pleasure maneuvers, but also talk about the events of the day, events of the week. Why? Because we as educated alphas, this is what we do. We go to cigar lounges. We hang out with fellow connoisseurs and alphas. We enjoy our cigars. We enjoy our libations. And we're able to converse about the topics of the day in an educated, rational manner. The betas, not so much. So first of all, there's some very important news that I must get to.
This is the Cigar Dave's News Bulletin.
Well, as you know, the various cigar-related associations, the Cigar Association of America, the Cigar Rights of America, the Premium Cigar Association, formerly known as IPCPR, IPCPR, have all been lobbying on their behalf, industry's behalf to get an exemption for premium cigars from FDA regulation. They have tried everything. They've got bills that were in the House and the Senate, could never get it attached to a bigger bill. They have lobbied the White House, OMB. They have just gone on and on. It has been a 10-year struggle, a 10-year fight. But something happened over the last month or so in one of the committees, and it was under the auspices of Representative Frank Pallone Jr., Texocrat Jay-Z, filed a bill last April entitled Reversing the Youth Tobacco Epidemic Act of 2019. It was in the Committee on Energy and Commerce and the Subcommittee on Health. Pallone wanted to put tremendous regulation on cigarettes, other tobacco products, chewing tobacco, vaping, and cigars that would have eliminated the ability for any sale with the exception of face-to-face contact. So if you wanted to buy a cigar online, no joy, no luck. Well, there was a lot of lobbying that went on. There are two Florida representatives that are on the committee. Kathy Fidel Castor, Texocrat of the Cigar City of Tampa, and Donna Shalala, Texocrat of Miami. In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that Hag Shalala just, congratulations to her. I think she just celebrated her 250th birthday, if I'm not mistaken. She ran for Congress, I think she's what, like 80, 85? Because she's got nothing better to do. Well, both of those representatives apparently expressed their concern to Chairman Frank Pallone. And Frank Pallone made an accommodation for premium cigars. But, as Ron Popeil would say, but wait, there's more. So for the first time ever, the House of Representatives, they voted on H.R. 2339, the Reversing the Youth Tobacco Epidemic Act. And they voted, a week ago yesterday, by a vote of 213 to 195 with 22 members abstaining, to pass that bill in the House that aspires to curtail youth use of tobacco products, strict new regulations, bans all flavored tobacco products, all internet and catalog sales of tobacco products, with one exception, premium cigars. The House Bill 2339 carves out an exemption for premium cigars for online tobacco sales. So you'd still be able to go out and online, whether it's to Thompson Cigar or to JR Cigars or Cigar International or Famous or Holtz or any retailer that sells online, you'd still be able to purchase cigars online. And also another provision in that bill that would change, put an exemption for what's called substantial equivalence. One of the three pathways to product approval the FDA established when it published its final deeming rule in May 2016 that incorporated regulating cigars. I'll get to that in a minute. So basically, there would be a premium cigar carve-out exemption. Now, you look at that and say, well, that's great. Premium cigars would be exempted from regulations. So you can still buy your cigars online. Substantial equivalence would be gone. So basically, manufacturers, I'm going to keep it simple. They don't have to go through a long, extensive product or process to be able to launch a new product. So they won't have to go through years and years and thousands of dollars of testing and applications with the FDA to get a new cigar blend approved. But as I said, wait, there's more. Not so fast, my friends. Premium cigar exemption. One little caveat. It's actually a big caveat. How did Frank Pallone, the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, the man who sponsored this bill, what is his definition of a premium cigar? Is it over $4? Is it over $5, $6, $8, $10? It would be defined a premium cigar as a cigar that is over $12. Has to be hand-rolled, the wrapper put on by hand. There's a number of other regulations. I've got the law in front of me here. I won't get into everything. in terms of the weight and other things, but basically a $12 retail price for a cigar. Less than a quarter of all premium cigars sold fall into the $12 and above category. Further, the bill has a provision that every year after this year, after 2020, the $12 would be multiplied by the consumer price index. So if the consumer price index, if inflation goes up, let's say 4% this year, they would add 4% to the $12. And it would be $12.48 in 2021, which would be the limit of what a premium cigar would be defined at. It is a terrible bill. Further, there are no provisions. It does not exempt premium cigars from advertising and marketing, so they couldn't have branded ashtrays, lighters, shirts, no sponsored events, no cigar festivals. All of that would be illegal. Now, many in the industry are saying, well, this is great. This is a first step. I disagree with them. This is a terrible bill. First of all, there's a companion Senate bill that I think Sherrod Brown, Texocrat of Ohio, has filed. It's not going to go anywhere this year, not in the Republican-controlled Senate. But that doesn't mean we have to keep our guard down. And this is what bothers me. Two of the House of Representatives that are on the committee from Florida, Donna Shalala from Miami, huge cigar-related district. She's very well-versed on the importance of premium cigars and that industry to the Miami economy. And Kathy Castor, who is a representative from Tampa, Cigar City, knows the J.C. Newman factory very well, knows that because of her vote for S-CHIP, the State Children's Health Insurance Program, which increased the tax on cigars to 53% with a 50-cent cap, well, that just decimated much of the mass market non-premium industry. They have a Tampa factory in the Cigar City of Tampa. 600 employees, gone. Gone because of Kathy Fidel Castor's vote. Now, both of them knew the importance, and they lobbied Pallone. And he said, okay, I'll put in an exemption. I'll put an exemption for premium cigars. But what they should have done is said, look, this $12 doesn't work. You want to put it to $5? Fine. People can live with that. Because I would say premium cigars with a retail price of $5 probably represents 80% or 75% of premium cigars. But what did Pallone do? Nothing. He kept it at $12, knowing full well that less than a quarter of all cigars sold fall into that category. Now, did Donna Shalala or did Kathy Castor, did they say, well, Mr. Chairman, I can't vote for this. These are important. This is important to my district. What did they do? They voted for this bill. So on one hand, the industry says, oh, Kathy Castor and Donna Shalala. And by the way, I'm going to get a ton of flack about this from people in the cigar industry. I know I am. But I'm independent, and I will always give you the blunt truth. Many of them are saying, well, we've got to walk a tightrope with Kathy Castor and Shalala. Shalala used to be head of Health and Human Services. She can help us. If she really wanted to help the industry, she and Castor would have gone into Pallone and said, we will not vote for this. This is harmful to our constituents, to businesses in our district. $12 is not reasonable. We have to bring that down. Now, I want to give you the same parallel here. I want to give you a contrast. Let's say that there would be a bill in the House that said we are going to put tremendous restrictions on advertising, marketing, and regulation of introducing new wines. Now, let's face it, California, huge region for wine. Napa, Sonoma, all along California. Do you think for one second that Nancy Pelosi or any of the California members of the House, any congressmen or women, do you think for a second they would vote for a bill that would screw their own constituents, big business, basically big industries in their districts? The answer is no. Now, I understand that they wanted to have a unanimous front on the taxocrats. Everybody to vote for it. But they should have exuded more pressure. This is why we have to absolutely vote Republican in the fall. The Democrats, when they get back into power, if they take the Senate, I can guarantee you, they will screw the cigar industry. They don't care about businesses. They don't care about taxes destroying businesses. They don't care. Democrats are enemies of business. I think they're enemies of America. That's my personal opinion. Because they've proved again and again that they don't care about the working person. They don't care about their constituents. If they did, they would have looked at Obamacare and said, wait a minute. People used to have $250, $500, $1,000 deductibles, $1,000 max out of pocket. Now these deductibles for these Obamacare plans are $1,000, $2,500, $3,500 maximum out of pocket, $8,000. They don't care about that. This is nothing more than a pathway to socialized medicine, Medicare for all, which would not be Medicare for all. I'm getting on a tangent. But the point being is Democrats, including Kathy Castor, and Donna Hag-Shalala, they do not care about the cigar industry. They pretend to care about the cigar industry. They pretend, oh, I'm for the cigar manufacturers. As long as the cash keeps coming in, they'll pretend. Just like Bill Nelson pretended. Oh, he loved the cash coming from the cigar manufacturers doing fundraisers, but never lifted a finger. Never lifted a finger. Pathetic. Kathy Castor and Donna Shalala know full well the importance of the cigar manufacturing industry and the cigar industry to their districts and to the state of Florida. They, when it counted, voted to screw the very industry that they purport to represent. Good news is this is probably going to die in the Senate, but very important, come September, let's stay, make sure we retain the Senate and take back the House. And, of course, Donald Trump, 4 more years. In fact, I'm happy with 8 more years for Donald Trump. Let's just do an 8-year election. 8 years for Donald Trump, I'm happy about it. Last week, I went on and on about China. China is not our friend. China is not only an American enemy, they are the world's enemy. Report. And I said this. They knew about coronavirus since the end of December, and the physician who found out about it, who discovered it, they basically muzzled. They shut him up. The commie pinko bastards shut him up. Well, Chinese scientists. Reports now coming out. Sunday Times of London. They all knew about this. But government officials were all ordered to suppress the evidence about coronavirus. They knew it. Gag order from China's National Health Commission. Instructions to destroy samples. Researchers in China discovered late December coronavirus. They alerted the proper authorities, the China National Health Commission of Beijing. So this wasn't local. This went right to the top. President Xi of China, he knew what was going on. He knew in early January. They ordered the samples destroyed. Rather than containing the virus, rather than saying to the world, we've got issues here. We've got a major, major problem. We must address this. We must let the world. Rather than containing it, they hid it. Furthermore, in Wuhan, there is a big annual potluck dinner. 40,000 families attend. Can you imagine this like going to a football stadium? 40,000 families, everybody brings their own dish, and everybody shares the dish. Now, Wuhan health officials, Beijing, the National Health Commission, and China, they knew about coronavirus. They knew it could spread. They knew it was dangerous. Did they stop that potluck dinner for 40,000 families? The answer is no. I got to find out how to say no in Chinese. They did not. And the cover-up continued when representatives of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control Prevention on January 8th visited Wuhan. Officials intentionally withheld information that hospital workers had been infected by patients, a telltale sign of contagion. They didn't acknowledge until January 20th. But meanwhile, now that President Trump is calling out China and has put travel restrictions and has, even though publicly stated, President Xi of China is doing a great job. The Wall Street Journal was hunting around. China expelled the three Wall Street Journal reporters last month who were snooping around, who knew what was going on. Meanwhile, China now is saying, well, the United States and other countries are being xenophobic. They're going against China. And that maybe the United States, maybe other countries had something to do with the spread of coronavirus. Please. President Trump kicked out some of the Chinese communist propaganda media members from the U.S. this week. And people getting confused about coronavirus. They're getting confused. They're confusing coronavirus with corona beer. Now, anybody with half a brain, now remember, we as alphas, we have 100% maximum brain efficiency. We are smart, we're educated, and many of you that don't even smoke cigars but like the fact that we're alphas, many dames listen, they know we're all educated, we're smart. None of us would say, gee, I think coronavirus is caused by drinking Corona beer. However, surveys are showing that a large percentage of Americans believe that Corona beer could contribute to getting coronavirus. 38% of respondents in a survey this month said they wouldn't buy Corona beer under any circumstances now. 14% said they wouldn't order the beer in public. 16% admitted confusion about the beer was directly related to coronavirus. You have got to be kidding me. How stupid are people? It's a name, Corona beer, has nothing to do with coronavirus. But again, low informational people, lips, low information persons. And here's another little kicker that I want to get into here. The CDC blocked an FDA official last Saturday from entering the premises. This shows you the problem with bureaucracy with the federal government. Officials are expressing frustration. A top scientist was rebuffed when attempting to visit the CDC in Atlanta last month to help coordinate the government's stalled coronavirus testing. Timothy Stenzel, director of the FDA's Office of In Vitro Diagnostics and Radiological Health, was made to wait overnight the weekend of February 22nd as senior health department officials negotiated his access in a series of calls before CDC officials allowed him to come on campus and into the building. Meanwhile, his visit had been expected. The FDA sent Stenzel to the CDC because they wanted to expedite the development of lab tests for the coronavirus outbreak. And problems with the CDC-developed test delayed the Trump administration's plan to expand screening for weeks. Now, I've got to tell you something. If this FDA official shows up at CDC at 7 o'clock and is not allowed to come in the next day, I'm President Trump. I bring in Azar, the head of HHS. I bring in the director of the CDC. I bring him into my office and say, this BS is going to end now. And you tell the CDC director, you report to Azar, you report to Pence, I find out about this thing, you're fired.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
The General returns in 3 minutes. Cigar Dave is back in just 2 minutes. Cigar Dave will return to the mic. The Cigar Dave Show resumes in 5, 4, 3, 2. Unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Now, for maneuvers, I have moved from Command Center Alpha to a teepee in show of support for Pocahontas, the fake Indian, Elizabeth Warren. After a big powwow with Chief Raging Bunny, I'm Raging Bernard Sanders. I'm going to have a big powwow with Pocahontas, the fake Indian, in her teepee. Therefore, I, Bernard Sanders, along with Cigar Dave, I have moved to a teepee. Big announcement from a teepee this week. She's out. She's bye-bye. We gave her the tomahawk chop. Whoa! Elizabeth, who is the liar now? Huh? You called me a liar? No. Are you a liar? You know, I go to your house, your teepee for dinner, and then you accuse me at a debate of calling me a liar? Screw you, you fake idiot. You're the liar. That's how you got your job at Harvard. You're a total phony and a fraud. Chief Raging Bernie now is the sole socialist in the race for the Democrat nomination. So I'm going to be doing litation and libation from a teepee set outside Command Center Alpha. And I have pulled out a Gurkha Nicaragua. Very good reason I pulled out a Gurkha Nicaragua. Next hour, the entire hour, we'll be joined in our Cigar Masters series by Jim Colucci, the president, dual president, of both Gurkha Cigars and Sindicato Cigars. And we'll talk with Jim about his interesting career and, of course, some of the new cigars being launched. And Jim has promised me that he is going to make two announcements about two new cigars being launched this summer at the Premium Cigar Association convention in Vegas in mid-July. He's going to make the announcement first today during his Cigar Masters appearance on the Cigar Dave Show next hour. So the Gurkha Nicaragua, Gurkha's first Nicaraguan Puro. It was launched last summer. We've got video of it as I toured the booth at the Premium Cigar Association convention last summer. Grown by, all the tobaccos grown by Aganorsa. Eduardo Fernandez, who grows fantastic Nicaraguan tobaccos, as well as rolls fantastic cigars at his factory. Corojo 99 wrapper, two Corojo 99 Nicaraguan binders, and a mix of Nicaraguan Corojo 99 and Criollo 98 filler. Comes in four different sizes, a Robusto, a Toro, the Magnum, as well as a Bellicoso, and I have pulled out the Toro. 6 inches in length, 54 ring gauge, or 54/64 7-inch, shade under an inch. Medium to full-bodied, a lot of flavor, cigar doing great. We'll also talk about the Gurkha Trenta, celebrating Gurkha's 30th anniversary, and the Gurkha Real that we featured for our December 2019 Officers Club selection. So I will enjoy the Gurkha Nicaragua today in honor of Jim Colucci's appearance on the Cigar Masters Hour, coming up hour two of the Cigar Dave Show.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready for action.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, I've got my Cigar Dave Mella. Make America Lightate Again. Beautiful jet flames, huge tank. That's what I would use today on this Gurkha Nicaragua.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Beautiful cut. As always, I will toast the foot of this cigar, this Gurkha Nicaragua. Beautiful looking cigar. Beautiful Colorado to dark wrapper, just a medium tan to a darker tan. I will puff and rotate. Great draw. Subtle aromas entering around me, being picked up by my acute nasal passages. Great draw. Puff and rotate. Take a few puffs. Blow on the foot. Perfect amber glow using my Cigar Dave Mala. Make America Lightate Again. And now I need something to wash it down with.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, I'm in the mood for some coffee. I love my Nespresso machine. It has the capsules. I don't have to worry about grinding. Now, I've also got a coffee machine that's got the grinder and all the fancy with the French press, and I've got the drip. I got everything. As a connoisseur, you have to have all the proper accoutrements. Well, I love my Nespresso machine that we can meet here at Command Center Alpha. There's probably 30 different varieties of cafe that you can enjoy. So appropriately, I picked the Nespresso Nicaragua. They describe it as a smooth honey and sweet cereal. Rare process they use with a black honey processing. Meticulous monitoring is necessary. Uses Arabica beans, Nicaraguan Arabica, smooth honey texture, sweet cereal notes. Beautiful. You stick it right in there, and about a minute later, boom, you have your coffee with a nice froth at the top. Very aromatic. I'll take a sip here in my very nice China cup and saucer. I don't use paper. No, no. Command Center Alpha, we do everything elegantly, okay? So you can hear the saucer and the cup connecting. Let me take a sip. And we'll post pictures of this at CigarDave.com and social media sites. Smooth texture, very cereally, slight bit of sweetness. I only use two or three drops of stevia. Delicious. So I've got my Gurkha Nicaragua accompanied by Nespresso Nicaragua. Absolutely perfect. All right, I want to finish off before the bottom of the hour, talked about the CDC blocked one of the FDA officials from coming on premises. And I want to finish this up because if I was President Trump, I would be beyond perturbed. I would bring in the head of the CDC in Atlanta. I would bring in Secretary Azar of HHS, Vice President Pence, and tell them that this nonsense, this BS stops pronto. It stops immediately. No ifs, no ands, no buts. There's not going to be any bureaucratic sparring. We are here to help the American people on this coronavirus spread. And if I catch wind of any of you or anybody at these agencies blocking access or not cooperating, I will personally fire any one of those guilty parties without any question. Done. Are we in clear agreement? And both heads would nod and say, this BS ends right now. Now, Michael Bloomberg had a very tough week. Oh, poor. He's had a tough few months. He got his ass clobbered on the debate, or the debates. Mr. Big Mike, I'm Mike. Mike is ready. I'm the man. I've led a city. I've led a business. I'm ready. Meanwhile, when it came to debate and when Pocahontas, fake Indian Warren, went after him, he got back underneath his lectern. He got off his little riser, and Mini Mike went down and crawled into a corner like a little beta. He got his ass slammed. Spends almost $700 million on campaigns, $500 million on advertising, and only wins American Samoa. Now I'll get to his terrible performances and his hypocritical performances on the Fox News town hall that occurred Monday night before this past Super Tuesday. But Michael Bloomberg, to be in solidarity with Chinese people, has said that he is going to eat at a Chinese restaurant to show solidarity over coronavirus.
I like Chinese. They only come up to your knees. Yet they're always friendly and they're ready to please. I like Chinese.
How nice of Mike Bloomberg, Mini Mike, to go eat Chinese. Is he going to have the Kung Pao chicken? Is he going to have the lo mein noodles, the chicken fried rice, the pork fried rice, the Happy Family, some, what else? General Tso chicken? That would be my favorite. Some beef and broccoli with cashew. Such choices. He says, go to Chinese restaurants all across the country here in America where there's no reason to think whatsoever you're going to catch the flu, but people aren't patronizing them. I thought to myself, he said, this was Monday, I'm going to go to a Chinese restaurant. It actually turns out I can't, but I will do it tomorrow night just to show the flag and help them. Why couldn't he do it that night? Why couldn't he order takeout? Get it delivered. Now, speaking of takeout or delivered, I think it was Monday, at a campaign event Monday. It sounds, looks as though this was in the afternoon. Mini Mike was hungry, and somebody videoed Mini Mike eating pizza. Mr. Anti-Junk Food. Mr. I'm taking the salt off your table. Mr. No Big Gulp. Mr. No Cigars. Mr. No Baby Formula for babies. We want their mommies to breastfeed them. Mr. I'm going to intrude in your life because I know better than you. He's eating pizza. And it wasn't just the fact he was eating pizza with gooey cheese. And it looked as though there was pepperoni or some sort of fatty meat product on there. It was what he did. Disgusting. He used his hands. Campaign event in Virginia. Took his hands. Instead of getting a knife and fork to cut it. You know, you cut the slice and then you remove it. He used his hands to kind of cut each edge. And then he stuck his fingers in his mouth, because he got some sauce on his fingers. He licked his fingers like, you can see this in the videotape. And then he goes back and puts his hands on the pizza again. Now, who knows what germs, what vermin Mini Mike is carrying? I mean, for all we know, his enemy of pleasure germs or genes, his nanny state genes, could somehow transfer to somebody who took another slice of that pizza. But it was absolutely disgusting. Sucks the crumbs and the sauce off his fingers. Then he goes back for more. Excuse me, Mike. Sanitary conditions. You're worried about people throwing some salt on their food, sprinkling some salt, or having a big gulp, but you can't use the tongs. You can't use a fork and knife. You can't be sanitary. Total fraud, hypocritical, phony. But wait, there is more. Town hall participant Monday night with Fox News asked Michael, Mini Mike Bloomberg, if his life matters more than the questioner.
How do you justify pushing for more gun control when you have an armed security detail that is likely equipped with the same firearms and magazines that you seek to ban the common citizen from owning? Does your life matter more than mine or my family's or these people's?
All right. Look, I probably get 40 or 50 threats every week, okay? And some of them are real. That just happens when you're the mayor of New York City or you're very wealthy, and if you're campaigning for president of the United States, you get lots of threats. So I have a security detail. I pay for it all myself. And, you know, they're all retired police officers who are very well trained in firearms.
So it's okay for Bloomberg to have a security detail with guns because he pays for them himself and their former police officers, and because he has all these threats. Again, it's the hypocrisy, and because he's wealthy, but it's not okay for a man on the street to protect his family and protect himself with a firearm. There's more hypocrisy. Brett Baer, or actually Martha McCollum, asks Bloomberg, how can you fly around on private jets but be a proponent for climate change? Get a listen to this.
So you have obviously been very passionate about climate change, but,
yes.
You know, several folks out there wanted to know how you can, you know, fly around on private jets and take your jet to Bermuda to play golf and still be such a strong proponent of climate change. Is that hypocrisy?
Well, number one, everybody that's running for president is running for a job that comes with a private plane.
That's true.
And it's a big plane, and it burns an awful lot of gas. I think the answer is that I spend an awful lot of time flying around the country, flying around the world, working on climate change, and we have closed an awful lot of coal-fired power plants and worked to try to train coal miners to get other jobs, but at least to get the pollutants from coal out of the air. And I probably couldn't do it without an airplane. And I just, the security you'd have to have, if I go on a commercial jet, the airlines just don't want to take you, because there's just too many risks. I'm just too controversial. But, yes, I have a plane.
So it's okay for him to have a plane, but it's not okay for anyone else. And he's so hypocritical. He's full of baloney. Donald Trump Jr., second most death threats against him in the country. First is the president, Donald Trump. Donald Trump Jr. gets the second most. Picture of him on social media the next day, on a commercial flight in coach in a middle seat, taken by another fellow passenger, smiling, and Donald Trump Jr. smiling. He travels by commercial. He also travels private. But you see, he has to travel. Michael Bloomberg has to travel around because he can't do it on commercial fighting climate change and closing down coal-fired plants. He needs his plane. They always have a BS excuse. What did I tell you? And what have I told you over the last umpteen couple of years? It's all about wealth transfer. It's okay for Mini Mike Bloomberg to travel around by private jet. It's okay for Al Gore to travel by private jet and to live in huge mansions. And Michael Bloomberg has, I think, 6 homes using tons of energy. But it's not okay for you to drive an SUV. It's not okay for you to have the air conditioning on. It's not okay for you to have a car that uses fossil fuels. But it's okay for these clowns. It is rampant hypocrisy. I'm all for having private air transportation. I'm a pilot. I love to fly privately. I admit it. But I don't go around jumping up and down saying, oh, we've got it. The fossil fuel executives are polluting. They're guilty. We should throw them in jail. We have to end this existential threat. If it's such an existential threat, then Bloomberg would be taking commercial. And then they'll give you the same also regurgitated poppycock that, well, I buy carbon offsets, which is another sham, another wealth transfer scheme. They're all full of baloney. And by the way, also full of baloney, Bolshevik Bernard Sanders. Last week when he was in, South Carolina, I believe. Yeah, South Carolina. He had to go from one city to the next. It's a two-hour car drive. Bernard Sanders had to use one of his fleet of four Gulfstreams for his campaign for a 10-minute flight. But here's the kicker. Bernard boarded the wrong Gulfstream. He mistakenly boarded the wrong private jet. It happens all the time. They all look the same. What am I supposed to do? So all these clowns that rail against this existential threat, climate change, we have to do something, they're all full of baloney. Don't believe them. Do not believe them for a second. It's all about wealth transfer. So you want to drive your SUV, you want to air condition your house, you want to travel by plane, you want to go have a boat, knock yourself out. Use the fuel. It's all a load of poppycock.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Cigar Dave Officers Club members receive three great cigars monthly that I personally select. For March 2020, I've got two beauties. First up, members will receive two CAO sessions, Sit, Smoke, Chill. Wrapped in a deep, dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, the CAO session is medium in body, notes of cream, pepper, cinnamon, nuts, chocolate, an all-day cigar. And then a very unique cigar no longer available that I was personally able to get my hands on for our Officers Club members, the CAO Orellana, the fourth in the Amazon series, a very mysterious cigar wrapped in a Brazilian Cubra wrapper that is aged 6 years. It is unique, mysterious. You will love it. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars per month like the CAO Orellana and the CAO Session. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join right now.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes.
The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Chris Matthews resigns from BSDNC. He got whacked, essentially, but they let him resign. Why? Well, because some woman wrote a GQ article saying that she just felt demeaned because the way Chris Matthews delivered some compliments. Now, Chris Matthews is very smug on the air. He's the know-it-all. You got to bring your A-game with him because he will challenge you at all times. But the one thing a Chris Matthews respects is if he has someone just as intelligent that can challenge him. Now, I stand up for him. I think he should not have had to resign or be fired. Does he say some stupid things? Yes. Last June 28th, 2019, Miami International Airport, the day after the Democrat debates, I am flying from Miami to Las Vegas for the Cigar Retailers Convention. And who do I see behind me in the TSA line? You got it, Chris Matthews. Here's the audio from the July 13th show where I discuss it. So I looked at him and I said, excuse me, Chris, you're in the wrong line. This is only for Fox News viewers. And, of course, a number of other people in line look and snicker. So I could tell I was in friendly company. There was maybe about 22 people, 23 people, something like that. And he said, no, where? He said, actually, this is the smart people's line. I said, exactly. That's why you're in the wrong line. You need to go back to the other terminal. Everybody around starts cracking up, including his producer. Touche. I got him. He didn't know anything at that point. He was a little silent that somebody gave it back to him. Because if you watch him on Hardball, he's always Mr. Smartass. He's the smartest one in the room. Nobody can get a word in. He's always the one that's got the last word. If he disagrees with you, he'll berate you. But I got the last word. Now, I ended up shaking his hand. It was very cordial. I was very polite because you don't want to be rude. And then he started talking, asked where I was from, and we had some common bonds. He was pleasant enough, I will say that. This is Laura Bassett. I call her Laura Bassett Hound. If you look at her, you'll know why. She published a piece in GQ magazine saying that there were instances of Matthews creating a sexist environment. Take a listen.
I helped to remove a man from the airwaves that was really undermining women. I was sitting next to him in the makeup chair, and he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Laura Bassett. I've been on your show several times. I'm going to be on your show tonight. And he said, and why haven't I fallen in love with you yet? And I was kind of taken aback, and I didn't say anything. I was nervous.
Please. The man compliments women. And by the way, by her own admission, she said, I wasn't sexually harassed. He didn't hit on me. Didn't touch me. This wasn't a Me Too movement. This is all because she didn't like the fact that Matthews was tough on Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, and other people. Enough's enough. I'm not a Chris Matthews fan, but he should not have been fired. Cigar Masters series next hour with Jim Colucci, president, Gurkha Cigars, Sindicato Cigars, next.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dinner. ministry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Dave Show.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden pitched similar messages this weekend, the former vice president telling his supporters they represent the backbone of the Democratic Party.
So all those who have been knocked down, counted out, left behind, let me say to you, this is your campaign.
In Dearborn, Michigan, Bernie Sanders said he's proud of his followers' diversity.
The very first thing we do is we bring people together and we stop the divisiveness in this country. Every person in this room, doesn't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever you may be, you have the same dreams and the same aspirations.
Each candidate hoping to show that he's the best choice before six more states, Idaho, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington, go to the polls on Tuesday and vote in a primary that will offer up 352 delegates. President Trump is making a change at the chief of staff position, tapping a Republican legislative leader to replace his acting chief.
President Trump announced that Mick Mulvaney will become the special envoy for Northern Ireland and that he's naming North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows as his new chief of staff. The decision comes as the Trump administration faces criticism for its handling of the coronavirus outbreak. Mulvaney had been in charge of the interagency response until the vice president was tapped. Congressman Meadows was the head of the Conservative Freedom Caucus and was praised for his defense of President Trump during the impeachment process. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Officials in Missouri say they've registered their first case of the coronavirus. Authorities in Florida reported the first two UF deaths away from the West Coast earlier in the week. It is daylight saving time tomorrow. Turn your clocks ahead 1 hour tonight before you go to bed. The official time change is at 2 a.m. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Matching Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government says any free trade deal with the United States has to have and protect Britain's cherished National Health Service.
The British government has published an outline of its negotiating objectives for the transatlantic deal. The outline estimates Britain's economy will get a $4.3 billion boost and trade between the close allies will increase by $19.6 billion if trade barriers between the United Kingdom and the United States are removed. Talks are scheduled to start later this month.
Jeremy House with that report. At least 32 people were killed. Dozens more were injured when a gunman opened fire Friday at a ceremony in Afghanistan's capital that was attended by prominent political leaders. The two attackers were eventually killed by police. The Islamic State group on social media claimed responsibility for that attack. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. government says it's sending 160 military police and engineers to two official border crossings to deal with asylum seekers in case a federal appeals court strikes down one of the Trump administration's key policies.
Senior Customs and Border Protection officials said Friday that active duty personnel will be in place by Saturday at ports of entry in El Paso and San Diego. They'll also send aviation support. The deployment is in response to a crowd of asylum seekers that gathered at an El Paso crossing last Friday after the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals temporarily struck down the program known as Remain in Mexico, which forces asylum seekers to stay in Mexico while their cases wind through courts in the U.S. Patrick Foss reporting.
A pair of retired pro golfers to be the newest recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Annika Sorenstam and Gary Player, receiving honors during a White House ceremony on March the 23rd from President Trump. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hey, guys. I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
CareNet Pregnancy Center, a faith-based medical facility in Shasta County, will hold their annual 5K fun run and walk at the Sundial Bridge at Turtle Bay on Saturday, April 18th. The Knights of Columbus will provide a pancake breakfast. CareNet receives no government funds. They're completely supported by listeners like you. For more information or to register, visit carenetreading.org. Life, it's worth running for.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
As I relight my Gurkha Nicaragua, absolutely fantastic. Providing me ample pleasure since we lit it during the National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony, and there's a good reason I selected Gurkha this week, the Gurkha Nicaragua, not only because it's a great cigar, but because our cigar master this hour is the president of Gurkha Cigars, and he wears two hats, as well as being the president of Sindicato Cigars. Interesting story there. Longtime friend of the Cigar Dave Show, Jim Colucci, will be joining us in just a moment. But as always, make sure you grab a cigar, a libation, kick back, and remember, no enemies of pleasure, no socialists allowed anywhere, anytime on the Cigar Dave Show. And we welcome Jim Colucci joining us from the Gurkha and Sindicato headquarters down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Actually, Tamarack, to be specific. Jim, great to have you on. You have been quite busy the last, since you started wearing both hats back last summer.
Yes. Hi. Well, actually, Dave, it started first of all, I'm happy to be on. And I started wearing both hats on January 1st, 2019.
Was it that long ago already? I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. I had my first anniversary already of two hats. My wife said, that's because you have a big head.
Now, tell us, Jim, how did that all come about? You were, as everybody knows, with Altadas for many, many years. In fact, I was just thinking about this before we came on the air today, that we probably did at least 30 live broadcasts launching new cigars for Altadas over probably a, 17, 18-year period without any question. And I can remember one that we did in Detroit when the Pimp Players Ball was there. And I've got some pictures to prove it when it was back at the Marriott in Troy, Michigan, when you could actually smoke cigars inside restaurants back in the good old days.
Yeah, I remember those days. I remember all the ones in Charlotte smoking cigars in Let's see, we had two different steakhouses, right? Morton's.
That's right.
And then there was also that
the
bar
Sunset
in
Club.
Charlotte.
Yep, the Sunset Club. Then we moved over to the Ballantine. And then, of course, we Dan Genuine Quality Fresh Cigars up in Michigan.
Yeah, we had that beer place that we had the smoker in there. Yeah, Dave, that was a lot of fun. I miss those days. I remember that day you drove up. Well, I remember that. We were at the Detroit Tiger Stadium, and you drove up in a tank.
That's right. That's right. We had the tank, the WKRK-FM tank. That's a great promotional vehicle to have. We came up in the tank, and there was a building behind that looked like it was just bombed out, and I'm on the top of the tank, and you were on there too. So great times. We'll have to do those again. I think maybe when I come down to see you, we should talk about maybe launching some of the new Gurkhas, because I know that you do have some new cigars that are in development. So, Jim, let's talk about going. You left Altadis. You retired from Altadis after many years. Couldn't stay away.
37 years, Dave.
37 years. Couldn't stay away from the cigar industry. And you got lured back in by a group of retailers that wanted to launch their own brands, and Sindicato was created. So let's talk about the formation of Sindicato, because you've launched some great cigars for Sindicato. Probably, 7-8 years it's been?
Sindicato is now, it'd be 7 years. No, actually, Dave, on February 28th, it was 7 years old.
Okay, so right in that time slot, 7 years.
Yeah, hard to believe that's that's when we launched it. We didn't launch our first cigars until October of that year, 2013. So we showed our first cigars at the then IPCPR show.
Right.
Okay. In 2013. So we've been doing this for 7 years now. And it's been very interesting, especially, it's really easy to launch a cigar company, Dave, when you have 45 retailers as part of the group and they have over 200 stores.
Well, and also because of your vast contacts and extensive travel to Nicaragua, Honduras, the Dominican Republic, you were able to tap into some great manufacturers. Your Sindicato and Sindicato Maduro, the flagship for Sindicato, are outstanding cigars, top shelf all the way.
Yeah, the best find I would say I had was meeting Eduardo Fernandez at Aganosa. And the quality tobacco he has, and the amazing thing is, when I was at Altadis, George Gershel and Nicky Van Olden, when they would buy tobacco, I would say, I've tasted better cigars than this with Nicaraguan tobacco. And they would say, hey, Aganosa, when we buy it from them, they sell us the best that they're willing to sell. They're the oddball in the industry that they keep the best for themselves.
Right.
And that was definitely true. Wasn't that the stuff they sold us wasn't great, but it didn't compare what they had on their products, the products they were making for people. They make a lot of cigars for a lot of different people and some great cigars. And that's how I got involved in it, because I had tasted Illusion and Vieje and, products that people were making with them. And I just thought they were great products. And the Sindicato has been great, both in the natural Corojo and the Maduro with the Mexican Marron. And, of course, to me, my favorite now and go-to stick at Sindicato is my Particulares.
Or as Gene Tipton would say, Particulares. I just spoke to Gene, who was for many years the VP of Sales at Altadis, and you brought him on board to Sindicato. And ever since you brought him on board, Jim, Gene has been smoking away the profits. I think his 10 cigars a day, but I think he's down to like 8 now.
Yeah, he's reduced his consumption. Before, when I used to work with Gene, when we'd be out of state and we'd be in a hotel, I'd call him up. I said, "You ready to go for breakfast at 7 o'clock?" He says, "Hell, I've been down here since 5:30, had a cigar in my mouth, and I'm having a cup of coffee."
Totally true. 100% true. I'll never forget having lunch with Gene one time. He said, "All right, now, we're going to go in the car. I got some cigars for you." So he opens his trunk. We were maybe 50 feet away from his car. I am telling you, one giant blue puff of smoke came out. You could smell the aroma of cigars 50 feet away. And when I came in, I saw it in his front seat. He had two ashtrays. He had location devices, butane gas. He was prepared in case he had to travel across the country. He was ready to go with his cigar supply. But Gene, very well loved in the industry and well known in the industry, and I just spoke to him. He's up in Tallahassee, used to live in Tampa, sold his house, and he is doing very well. But he told me that he's still selling some cigars for you.
Yeah, he is. And he built that. You've been in his old in Tampa in his man cave.
That is correct.
Did he tell you about the new one? How big this one is?
He told me.
Yeah. You know, basically, you know, when he left Altadis, when he retired, I think he had a couple of thousand sticks, you know, in the house. And, of course, that he went through all those already. And God knows how many Gurkha and Sindicato sticks he has now. But I'll tell you something funny, Dave. You remember all the beautiful humidors we would make and also the ones we gave away at the Monte Cristo Cup?
Absolutely.
So one day I said to Gene, I said, you know, I really, you know, upset with myself that I really, you know, used to just say to everybody, no, I don't want one. I have a couple humidors at home. So I said, Gene, how many humidors you have at home? I said, I probably got about 55 to 65. Here's every one we made.
All right.
And
oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's got the, you know, the big one, big one we made for the stores.
I do remember that he's one. He's got it.
The 100, you know, when it was the anniversary of the 75th anniversary of Monte Cristo, he had one of those big ones. He's
quite
the best.
Quite the character, no doubt about it. And really, when you look at the cigar industry, it's still made up of people, relationships. And obviously, you've been in the cigar industry now, what, 44 years, 45 years?
Unfortunately, 47. And
47
my wife
years.
Wants to know. Yeah, it's my wife said, you know, you're in it 47 years, and if you turn it around, that's your age. And she says, when are you gonna retire? I said, well, I retired when I was 65. She said, I mean the second time. I said, maybe 75. So I've got about a year left, but I'll probably sneak in a few more years if my health's good.
And if you did retire after about a week, Linda would say, when are you going back to work? When are you gonna go back traveling again?
Well, basically, for 47 years, I've traveled, you know, and not as much at Sindicato and Gurkha, but I think that's why we're married almost 51 years now, because I travel for 47.
There you go. Jim Colucci, the president of Gurkha Cigars and Sindicato Cigars, our guest with Altadis for many, many years. Jim, when you look at the industry and you getting into the cigar industry, you came from a very different industry. You went from a female industry to a male industry. Tell the story about who you work for.
No. You got to have a little mixed up for it. Okay, but I'll tell the story. What you're talking about is when I went for my first interview, or my interviews at Consolidated Cigar at the time, not Altadis. I was having my third and final interview, okay, and I was interviewing with three companies, Abe. I never told you there were three. I was interviewing with Consolidated Cigar, and ready for this, Mogan David Wine.
Big back in the day.
Yeah. So when I was at this final interview, John Gaffella, who then was the senior vice president of sales and marketing, said to me, your third interview, you never asked for a cigar. I said, well, I don't smoke cigars. I've never smoked a cigarette. I don't smoke. He said, well, how in the hell are you going to sell cigars if you don't smoke cigars? I said, well, if I don't take this job, I have another offer. And they haven't asked me to use their product. And he said, what the hell company would not want you to use their product? I said, Playtex. So I never worked for Playtex, Dave. I came from General Foods, which is now Kraft.
Okay, so I misunderstood. But Playtex at the time made bras and the 24-hour girdles. I remember all the commercials he used to see. So you never wore a girdle, a bra, but they still offered you the job.
Right. Well, you know. Well, maybe they thought I would consider starting wearing that stuff. It'd probably be in vogue nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about it. So you joined Consolidated Cigar when Consolidated Cigar was owned by a big conglomerate called Gulf and Western, based
right.
in New York.
Yep. That was a long time ago, 47 years ago.
What was the cigar industry like back at the time? Because when you joined it, you know, it was, you could smoke everywhere or cigars everywhere. But again, being, did you start on the mass side or on the premium side?
I didn't get to premium until 1998, Dave. I officially took over. I mean, I smoked premiums before that. But Dave, when I joined the cigar industry, my first trip was to Buffalo, New York. Okay. When we got on the plane and I was with the VP of sales, he lit up a cigar.
On the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been, I think, probably Mohawk Airlines back at the time.
No, it was the Allegheny.
Okay, it was Allegheny. Oh. Mohawk had merged with Allegheny. Okay. Right. So it was Allegheny, you could smoke a cigar on the plane. Oh, boy, that would have
been
phenomenal.
You know, and, you know, when you were in the smoking section of the plane,
right.
and, you know, it was the last, you know, the seats, and the people in front of you, you were smoking a cigar. Other people were smoking a cigarette. So I remember, it was like about 2 years later, came the cigar smoking ban on planes.
Right.
And we tried to ask the people in the cigarette industry to help us out, meaning they weren't getting banned, only we were, you know? And they kind of like, they might have used one of the fingers to tell us what they were going to do for us.
Right.
Which is ironic because several years later when the cigarette ban came, they asked us for help. We didn't give it to them.
Yeah, you returned the favor.
Right. Yeah. They're very selfish.
So you came from the mass end, and back those days, I think Consolidated, give us some of the brands. It was Muriel's, Dutch Masters.
Muriel, Dutch Masters, El Producto. We introduced Backwoods in 1985, I guess it was.
And that was your kind of invention?
No, actually, we introduced Backwoods in 1979.
Didn't you create the Backwoods?
I was instrumental, and I think I told you the story that I was very upset with the product when they first came out with it because the commercial they made, I wasn't too happy with the two guys they were using to lasso the girl. But it was an instantaneous hit. We were out of stock for the first year, basically. We couldn't sell enough. And eventually, we were up to 80 million sticks, which – if you put it against the premium business, that's not really good. I mean, that's great because, at that time, there weren't 80 million premium cigars.
Right.
But the ironic thing is 3 years later, I decided to introduce Backwoods Sweet. And you know Theo. And he gave me this thing, you know, I think you're going to cannibalize on the natural. So I said, I just got this great feeling about it. Would you let me do it? So then that year we sold 160 million sticks. 90 million were sweet, and we kept the 70 million of the natural.
And you're referring to Theo Foles, who was the CEO of Altadis and the predecessor Consolidated Cigars for many years. And I remember the commercial, Jim, new Backwoods smokes. How could anything look so wild taste so mild?
Right. Yep,
I even remember the jingle.
It.
I remember the whole thing. Yeah, that was very, very
yeah,
big.
I mean, Dave, let me tell you about that product real quick. That was, you've probably seen a cigar that looks like that over in Europe, but it's dry. A wild India,
right.
as they called it. Okay? So we tried to introduce that in the United States, and we made the first batch by mistake. And sorry, I have this tickle in my throat. We made the first batch. And we oversaturated with humidity. And when they gave me the cigars, you can bend the cigar. You've seen a backwards. You could take a backwards
sure.
on both ends and touch both ends.
Absolutely.
So we did a test in our panel, and they liked the moist one better than they liked the dry one. And you know Americans don't like dry cigars because they think they're dry. So that even though they're supposed to be dry, the European cigars, Americans reject them because they use the moist cigars. So we launched Backwoods, and everybody just loved it. And it's just an amazing product. And the secret to Backwoods, why it's so great and kept on selling all these years, is that the packaging we used, we got from Reynolds, and Reynolds made this product for a company called Polaroid. Remember when you have to open the Polaroid?
Absolutely.
Back then?
Sure.
That's the packaging. Sorry,
I should
David.
Tell everyone that you're coming off bronchitis, the same thing,
yes,
I had for about 6 weeks, and I didn't have a cigar for almost 6.5, 7 weeks. It was just going around. So you have the same thing that I just...
I just had a cigar, and that's maybe probably why I'm getting a tickle. But it's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to just throw some water down me because I'm dry.
There you go. That makes sense.
Okay.
You need a alcoholic libation. A little Gentleman Jack or a little Scotch would probably do the trick.
You know, Kaiser just gave me a bottle of 12-year Macallan.
That would be perfect, Jim. Absolutely spectacular.
Maybe when we do the break, I'll have a little.
Not a problem. So you go from, it's just interesting because one other story about the mass market industry before we start getting into premium and Gurkha. George Burns, who lived, I think, 101, something like that?
101.
101. He would time his act based upon his El Producto cigar. You used to send.
El Producto Queen.
El Producto Queen. And my understanding was that Consolidated Cigar sent George Burns complimentary El Producto Queens every month to the day he died.
Yes, 600 cigars a month, 2 cases of 300.
Well, I love the story that George Burns told when he hit 100. One of the reporters asked him, "What do your doctors think of you smoking all these cigars?" He said, "I don't know. They're all dead." So George lived to 101, and he smoked a lot of cigars. And synonymous with that. It's funny because there's a lot of, if you go to various networks, there are actually, they show The Tonight Show back when Johnny Carson hosted it. And basically every time George Burns was on or Milton Berle, they always had a lit cigar. Those were the good old days, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you go back, Dave, Dutch Master, El Producto, and Muriel all had top-notch people that everyone had heard of. Ernie Kovacs was Dutch Master. Then he convinced us to use his wife, Edie Gourmet.
Edie Adams.
I apologize. And we had also Sid Caesar and who else? Oh, we had Milton Berle. And yeah, I mean, just on and on, these guys all smoked. I have some great old commercials from the 60s. They're just wonderful with Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, Ernie Kovacs, Edie Adams. It was good times.
Absolutely. And then you made the transition into premium cigars.
Yes.
Back, what did you say,
1998, February of 1998, I took over both premium and mass market.
That's right. And I remember meeting you at the time, RTDA convention in Nashville.
Yes.
And that's when you had launched a ton of new products. I mean, there were new products and humidors, just a totally different look from Consolidated, and really taking some of the incredible brands at the time, Romeo and Julieta, Monte Cristo, Aceh Upman, and really starting to run with those classic traditional old Cuban brands.
Yeah, we, in fact, you know, not until the boom in the mid-90s did we even reintroduce Monte Cristo. People don't realize that the brand we made at the time and the people at Dunhill were distributing it was Monte Cruz. So when we had bought the...
I'll tell you what, Jim, hold that thought, because we're up against a hard break. We will continue our conversation. Cigar Master Series, Jim Colucci, President, Gurkha Cigars, Sindicato Cigars, around the corner.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook news feed. By following The General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what The General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
Yeah. In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars wearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Reading all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Cigar Masters series today from Augusta National with our good friend Jim Colucci, president of Sindicato Cigars and Gurkha Cigars. Jim, can you imagine if I had to do the Jim Nance on the golf course voice for the entire show? That would not work for me.
No. Oh, but I'd like to be
in subtle
there.
Tones. Yeah, there you go. An Amen Corner. Here we go. Let's go to Amen Corner. Yeah, it definitely is. Although I'm not sure you'd want to be a member of Augusta National with of the guys that are on there. Not exactly our kind of guys. But anyway, no. Jim, you were talking about your entrance into the premium cigar into things. You were promoted in 1998 at Altadis to Senior VP of Sales and Marketing, overseeing both premium and mass market. So you came in really full guns a-blazing when it came time to adding new cigars and new accessories to Consolidated's premium lineup at the time.
Yeah, well, you know what, Dave? You know, I said I wasn't involved with premium cigars. I mean, I wasn't in charge, but I had a lot of theories of what we should be doing, and the people that were there weren't doing it. So when I took over, I said, hey, we're going to make some changes, you know. And the biggest change I made was meeting with a lot of retailers and asking them, what should I do? You know, people don't realize that you can be a big corporation, but you don't have all the answers. And if you talk to your consumers and the people that sell to the consumers, you'll learn a lot. And for me, it was great. And they were really open to helping me out. And I've made a lot of good friends with these people since 1998, and I'm still friends with them. And in fact, a majority of them are Sindicato owners.
And even though Consolidated was a big cigar company, I think at the time, wasn't it the largest when you added both premium and mass market? I think it was a little bit larger than General at the time, was it not?
Oh, yeah, it was way larger than General, but we weren't larger than their premium business.
Correct. But what was interesting is it was very entrepreneurial. You did not have many layers of bureaucracy and management. You ran it. All the execs really were hands-on, very entrepreneurial, almost operated like it was a boutique type of operation, not a major big company.
Yeah. I mean, when I left Altadis, I always get it to everyone. I said I was part-time in premium because I still was running mass market, which was I would say seven times bigger, okay, dollar-wise, you know. And the other thing was, Janelle was full-time. Joe Maldonado was full-time. And Jill, you know. So what I'm saying is we really had a small staff. It was only about five people in the office that were working on premium.
Right.
But that's the way you got to understand. Theo is probably the greatest boss or greatest manager I've ever worked for. And, you know, I always joke the only person I ever worked for again would be him. And not a joke, meaning he was a great person. He was probably one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. And, you know, he likes to brag. You know the story. His first year in college, he had six flags and one D. And that was the end of his college career.
That was
it. Of a guy that never went to college, he ran two major corporations once at the same time. He ran Consolidated and Brooks Drug at the same time.
I never realized he ran Brooks Drug. I did not know that.
Yes, Dio was the president of Brooks Drug and Consolidated Cigar at the same time. And then he was also the chairman of McCandrews and Forbes Licorice Division. So
that's
he's
right.
Handling his three jobs at the same time. But Brooks, he didn't handle long because his job when he was sent up there was to get it sold, and that's what he did. But we got, at the time, remember, we were a big mass market company. And Brooks, I don't know if you know where Brooks was, right up there in Rhode Island. We got threatened by the other local guy in Rhode Island called CVS.
Right.
That they weren't too happy that the president of their biggest mass market cigar division was also the president of their competitor down the block.
That didn't work too well. Of course, you're referring to Theo Foles, the former CEO of Consolidated. And, Jim, what really is interesting about Theo was that his genius was he hired the absolute best people, and he got out of the way. When you needed something, whether it was George Gershel going into Theo to say, Theo, I think we need to buy more raw materials. It's going to be a big cost, but we need to age these. Theo would say, George, if that's what you think we need to do, let's do it. Same thing with you. When he promoted you, he really got out of the way and let you run that operation, but was there as a resource when you needed him.
Yeah, he was there. I mean, he's just a great guy. But I got to tell you something. You know, even when we were owned by Ronald Perelman twice, you remember we were owned by Ronald Perelman twice?
Right, sure.
Ronald Perelman only visited our offices once the first time and once the second time. And I only met Ronald for a meeting once in New York, and Theo might have met with him like maybe once a quarter. And all Ronald Perelman cared about is he had this great guy, Theo Foles, there. And long as Theo was delivering the numbers, there was no reason to worry about him. He had other companies to worry more than he did about, you know, Consolidated. And that's why he knew Theo was so great, that he felt that Theo had the right people and could handle Brooks and McAndrews and Forbes Flavoring at the same time.
So let's fast forward to a year ago. You become president. You were president of Sindicato, still are. Kaizad Hansodia, who is the founder of Gurkha Cigars, the owner of Gurkha Cigars, had been renting you space for Sindicato with your office. And we all know Kaizad. He's a great guy, and he's like a brother, like family. You come visit. You know, it's like he treats you like you're a relative. He really does.
Right.
And so he'd been after you for a while to become president of Gurkha. Talk about how that all transpired, what the timing was, and why it was right for you at the time to oversee two companies rather than just one.
Well, okay. So, I mean, one of the things, we've been, Kaiser and I have been friends for over 20 years. And when I left Altidus and said I was going to do Sindicato, he said, well, why don't you put your offices in my warehouse? I've got extra space. I'll give you my second humidor for your stuff. And so I was here, and he said, well, here's one of the parts of the rent. I'm going to bounce things off you because I value your opinion. So probably about a year and a half ago, maybe a little more than that, maybe a year and three quarters, he said to me, why don't you come work for me? And I said, well, Kay, one of the things, you know me, I'm very honorable. I gave my word to these guys when we formed Sindicato that I would be there till the end, whether we sold it or we would, basically training someone to take my place. I said, I can't really leave them and work for you. But maybe if we did the following, we could use a bigger sales force. So if I could sell it to the Sindicato guys, that the Gurkha sales force would now be the Sindicato sales force, I think they would jump on it. And so that's what we did. And that's how it started and worked out great. I run both companies, and I have a bigger sales force now. I have a national sales force, which before we had brokers and Gene, So it's been a real plus for us. And now Sindicato products, Sindicato and both Particulares, are international. We're in Mexico, Brazil, Panama, Italy, and we're about to be in the Middle East. So, it's been a blessing as far as that, because I don't think I could ever gotten the product internationally without having Kaizad's international sales force.
And so last summer at the Cigar Retailers Convention, that was your first convention as the president of Gurkha, and you had three big launches. One of the cigars you launched, I'm enjoying today, the Gurkha Nicaragua.
Yes, that's a great cigar. Again, I wanted to have a real puro Nicaraguan made with all Aganosa tobacco. I love their, Corojo from Jalapa, and I love their double binders, the way they do things, and they do the cigars in Entubo. I mean, they're just a great great people to deal with, and they make great cigars and have great tobacco. So it's been a great success for us. We've run out of all the boxes. I think I told you the story earlier that we're not making our boxes in China anymore. So the 1,500 boxes I made in China are all gone, and we're now making boxes in Nicaragua.
And let's talk about that, because China has been a major manufacturer. Last week on the show, I pontificated against China. I do not trust the numbers coming out of China. They hid the fact that coronavirus was discovered the end of December by a Chinese ophthalmologist.
Right.
They have endangered not only the world's economy, but the world's health. And to this day, I don't try. Now they're trying to blame the U.S., saying that we're being xenophobic and that we are the ones responsible for spreading coronavirus, which is absolute, utter nonsense. And the rest of the world has finally figured out that you can't trust the Chinese communists in any way, shape, or form. But you made the decision not that long ago that you were going to start moving your supply chain in terms of boxes from China to other parts of the world.
Yeah, I definitely had made the decision before the coronavirus. I just, you know, I really wasn't doing much with China. Gurkha did a lot. And I just started showing people that if you went to Nicaragua and, you know, we're making the paper wrap stuff is being made by Jason over there in Orlando area. And he's shipping it down to the box factory in Nicaragua and Dominican who are making paper wrap boxes.
Right, Jason at Action Label.
Yes, sorry, yeah, you know Jason. So,
right,
Dave, I will tell you that when you put the cost of travel, and first of all, the Chinese want the money up front, okay? Number two, if the product comes and it's damaged, it's screw you. I shouldn't say that on your line, probably.
Yeah, you can say it. You can say it. That's okay. We say it all the time.
So when I first got here at Gurkha, we had this issue. We had 1,000 humidors, Dave, that we paid $30 for. They all came damaged, every single one.
Wow.
And the manufacturer said, screw you. So here you pay up front, so you can't do anything. You can't pay with American Express. They want a wire, right?
Right.
So that did it for me. I said, I can't deal with this. I need to deal with people I trust. I don't trust any of the people in the China business because they take my money up front. And if I don't like the product that comes, it's tough luck. They'll get business from someone else. They change your name. They change their broker, whatever. So I made the decision to move all our boxes back to the United States or in the country of origin where we're making the product. So that's what we're doing. And I think it's going to be positive for us. And again, with the paying up front, the 2 to 3 months it takes to get the product, the customs and duties, sometimes the problems in Nicaragua getting the product in, you know, if you don't have the right paperwork and everything, it's not worth the aggravation, Dave. And it isn't worth maybe saving on an average because you go buy per cigar. Is maybe saving 8 cents or 10 cents per cigar.
Right.
In the costing. I just said, listen, you got good quality cigar. All the people care about is a great cigar. If the box isn't as pretty as it might have been coming from China, but it's still a great looking cigar box, they care about the cigar, not the box.
Right.
So that was the decision I made, and I'm going to stick to it.
We will continue with our Cigar Masters series. Our guest, Jim Colucci, president of both Gurkha Cigars and Sindicato Cigars. Our final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. I'm here with my brother Nish and my cousin Nimish, and we're talking cigars. Guess what? They want me to vote on what my favorite cigar is. It's tough, but I'm going to go with the Decade. I love it. It's rich, decadent, and smooth.
Rocky, you know what? The Decade's a great cigar, but the 15th anniversary, that's the cigar. That celebrated your 15 years in business, and I got to tell you, it's my favorite.
You know what, Nish and Rocky, you both are wrong. The best cigar is Freedom by Rocky Patel. This cigar delivers a lot of spice, a lot of flavor, and in my opinion, it's the best cigar we make.
As usual, we can't agree. But guess what? There's a great cigar for everyone. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
Cigar Dave Officers Club members receive 3 great cigars monthly that I personally select. For March 2020, I've got 2 beauties. First up, members will receive 2 CAO sessions. Sit, smoke, chill. Wrapped in a deep, dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, the CAO Session is medium in body, notes of cream, pepper, cinnamon, nuts, chocolate, an all-day cigar. And then a very unique cigar no longer available that I was personally able to get my hands on for our Officers Club members, the CAO Orellana. The fourth in the Amazon series, a very mysterious cigar wrapped in a Brazilian Cubra wrapper that is aged 6 years. It is unique, mysterious. You will love it. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars per month like the CAO Orellana and the CAO Session. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join right now.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with a peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The latest news in the world of cigars from those who produce the sticks. It's the Cigar Masters Series, only on the Cigar Dave Show.
Jim Colucci, dual president of both Sindicato Cigars and Gurkha Cigars, our guest. All right, Jim, let's talk real quickly. The Gurkha Nicaragua doing very well. Nice medium to full flavored profile on that cigar.
Yeah, it's a terrific cigar from Aganosa. It's got a Corojo, sun-grown Corojo wrapper. Both a Condega and Esteli binder, double binder, and Condega and Esteli fillers.
Now let's talk about the Gurkha Real. You also launched that last July at the Premium Cigar Association convention. We featured it as the December 2019 Officers Club selection. A very pleasant, mild to medium bodied cigar, big time winner.
Yeah, it's, you know, I wanted to, you know, having had such success when I was at Altadis with both the Romeo Real and the Monte Cristo White, I wanted something in that taste profile over here at Gurkha. We have it in Sindicato with Affinity, but I wanted something in Gurkha. And so we introduced that product. It's made in the Dominican Republic by Cuevas, the Cuevas factory, and they did a great job. It's really a fantastic cigar. It's priced right. And it's doing really well. So, like the Nicaraguan series, they're both doing well, as is the Trenta.
Let's talk about 30th anniversary cigar when Kaizad Hansotti acquired the Gurkha brand. Let's talk about Trenta.
Okay. So, 30 years ago, last year, in 2019, he started Gurkha Cigar Company. So, we wanted to do something that would not only be an anniversary cigar, but a continuing cigar. And that's why we named it Trenta for 30. And we're going to keep making that cigar. The first 1,000 boxes of each of the three different sizes, Dave, were made in beautiful piano finished boxes, which we didn't charge the consumer for. The cigar is priced for the new boxes that will come from Nicaragua soon with the paper wrap box. And so the consumer is getting, like, we had one retailer, someone sent me in the picture. He's selling the box for $40 after he sold out the cigars. All right. So it's a beautiful box. It's something keep. I mean, I got one of each in my office empty because I've smoked the cigars. Cigar is great. It's an Ecuador Cubano wrapper from the Oliva Tobacco Company. It's got double binder. It's made by Agonos. It's got double binder, Alapa and Esteli binder, and it's got Condega and Esteli filler. And it's a great cigar. It's medium, almost at 3/4, but it's getting the best review. Even though the Nicaraguan series was rated a 92 by Cigar Snob, and it was the number 13 cigar for Cigars and Spirits for last year. So the Nicaraguan series is doing great, Trent is doing great, and the Real is doing great.
Fantastic. Now, two big announcements. You launched at the one of the conventions,
TPE.
Tobacco Plus Expo last month, the Castle Hall, as well as the Prize Fighter Maduro, both value price cigars, less than $5.
Right.
But you've got two big announcements, exclusive. First, you're going to hear about it on the Cigar Dave Show today. In July at the Premium Cigar Association Convention, you've got a new Castle Hall and a new brand coming out. Let's share that info.
Okay, so the new Castle Hall is going to be a Ecuador Cubano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, double binder, and all Nicaraguan tobacco, okay? And it's going to be made in Nicaragua. And then we're going to introduce San Miguel. This is the big one. This is going to be made by Agonosa, and it's going to be a shade-grown Corojo wrapper from Jalapa, a double binder from Condega and Esteli, with Condega and Esteli fillers from Nicaragua. Made in Tubo, made by Agonosa, and it's going to be in the $8 to $9 range.
And what is the flavor profile, flavor complexion of the new San Miguel going to be?
The San Miguel is going to be medium to not quite 3/4.
All right, so medium full, and then what about the Castle Hall with the Ecuador Cubano wrapper from Nicaragua?
That's going to be pretty full for a cigar that the $495 for the 60x6, $475 for the 54x6 Toro, and the 52x5 Robusto is going to be $450.
That's incredible. So less than $5 for incredible, you know, great premium cigars. And
right.
So you've got the Castle Hall that'll have the Castle Hall with the Connecticut more on the mild side.
From the Dominican, right.
Or the Dominican. And then the Nicaraguan version, Ecuadorian Cubano, is going to be a super full cigar. Or no, that's going to be what? Super
medium
full, you said?
Medium to 3/4.
Medium to 3/4. And then the San Miguel will be a super full cigar. Well, Jim, we will look forward to sampling. I'm going to see you in a few weeks down at Gurkha Sindicato World Headquarters. So I know you've got some samples, unbanded samples, I'm sure, in bundles. So I can't wait to smoke the new San Miguel. May have to do that after we go out to lunch, Jim, because if that's going to be super full, don't want to do that on an empty stomach.
You got it. All right, Dave. We'll look forward to it. See you in a couple weeks.
Sounds great, and feel better, get rid of that bronchitis. You get rid of it, the good news is it goes away, but it just kind of lingers. Jim Colucci, president of Gurkha Cigars and Sindicato Cigars, our Cigar Masters guest today on the Cigar Dave Show. As always, don't forget, make sure you follow me at social media. Twitter is at Cigar Dave Show, Facebook Cigar Dave, Instagram Cigar Dave. Download the Cigar Dave mobile app if you have not done so already. Let's go to the Apple Play Store or the Apple Store, the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and just go ahead and download it. You will not miss an episode of the Cigar Dave Show. Cigar Dave, the general saying, Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. And as always, screw the enemies of pleasure. Bye-bye, Bloomberg.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at Coachmaster Auto.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The two-man Democratic campaign in full hustings mode this weekend.
Thank you, Dearborn.
Bernie Sanders liked the makeup of the crowd that showed up for his rally in Dearborn, Michigan.
I get inspired because I talk to groups like this. I look around this room and I see people coming from so many different backgrounds. It is beautiful. This is what America looks like at its best.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden was campaigning in St. Louis.
You know, Senator Sanders likes to say he'll need a record turnout to defeat Donald Trump. He's right. And we're the campaign that's going to do that record turnout.
Missouri and Michigan both hold primaries on Tuesday. I'm Ben Thomas.
Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issuing an advisory for older adults and people with severe chronic medical conditions. They say please stay home as much as possible.
The CDC says older people and those with underlying health conditions are more likely to have serious illness from the coronavirus and should stay away from those who are sick and wash their hands often when they do go out. During a lab tour on Friday with President Trump, CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield said mitigation complements their goal.
We need to stay committed to containment, and I still believe containment and control is the goal.
For most people, COVID-19 causes only mild or moderate flu-like symptoms, such as fever and cough. I'm Julie Walker.
Nation's capital has pop-up shops, just about everything, food, drink, even marijuana. Now a coronavirus prevention supply has popped up. One entrepreneur near Gallaudet University saw the opportunity. She displays different face mask models from the hand sanitizer bottles and the information from the CDC. She says the goal isn't to get rich, but she sees it as providing a community service, and she even offers discounts to those in need and to senior citizens. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Nightingale here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now, like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
President Trump's hailing the government's latest jobs numbers, which show employers added some 273,000 positions last month.
They're incredible.
President Trump's assessment echoes that of Diane Swank.
It was a blowout report.
The Grant Thornton chief economist notes the February jobs report reflects a pre-coronavirus world.
Layoffs have already begun.
in the leisure and hospitality sector in March, but at least people had a cushion going in, really critical to surviving and making it through this crisis.
And President Trump says he can see possible upsides in the crisis.
We're going to have Americans staying home instead of going and spending their money in other countries.
The unemployment rate edged down to 3.5% last month, matching a 50-year low, while wages were up 3% compared with a year ago. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The NBA advising teams to be prepared to play without fans if necessary because of the coronavirus threat. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Long-term U.S. mortgage rates have sunk to a record low, giving a lot of homeowners an opening to refinance their loans to free up money or to spend or save.
The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage hit a record low of 3.29% this week from 3.45% last week. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac said the decline is being driven by investors shifting money out of the stock market and into the safety of U.S. Treasuries as the coronavirus outbreak has deepened. Long-term mortgage rates tend to track the yields on the 10-year Treasury note, so they typically fall in tandem. Patrick Frost reporting.
SpaceX launched another load of supplies for NASA and nailed its 50th rocket landing in the process. Falcon rocket blasted off yesterday with 4,300 pounds of equipment and supplies to the ISS. Minutes later, the first stage came back and made a dramatic midnight landing at Cape Canaveral, Florida. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
The Arizona State Legislature is considering a bill which would prevent transgenders from participating on interscholastic teams that do not match their biological sex. You see, this bill creates fairness in women's sports. It also aligns with the federal mandates in the Title IX Civil Rights Code, which was partially enacted to protect the equal opportunities for girls in sports. Now, girls who've trained for years are being denied fair competitions simply because of biological boys claiming to have a mental condition, gender identity dysphoria. Have compassion for those boys, but not at the expense of unfairness for girls wishing to compete.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Big show coming your way in a big hour on Super Tuesday. A lot going on. Barney and Company will do a simulcast at 50. 34 after, we're going to have in Gene Becker, longtime aide to the Bushes, and Doris Bush Koch. And she is also the daughter of she's the daughter of George Bush, 41, and Barbara Bush. They write the brand new book about called Pearls of Wisdom. And speaking of Pearls of Wisdom, in studio is Carl Rove, trying to make sense of Super Tuesday and prognosticate where tomorrow we're going to have results. Maybe beginning at 11 o'clock, we're going to get the ones out of California, which could decide really if Bernie Sanders can be caught. So before we get to them, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
What we've done is fundamentally different than what the Obama administration did. Indeed, we accomplished what they tried to do but could not. They never got the Taliban to break with Al-Qaeda, and they never got a commitment that says, if you execute the following, conditions-based.
There you go. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, talking about the Afghanistan deal. On surface, it's a bad deal for the United States, but salvageable for our security. I'll explain.
Number two.
The risk to the American people of the coronavirus remains low, according to all of the experts that we're working with across the government. As the President has said, we're ready for anything, but this is an all-hands-on-deck effort.
Coronavirus update, why it seems Wall Street is no longer running a sell-off fever, and how the U.S. is handling this China virus as the market's up again.
Number one.
Today, I am ending my campaign and endorsing Joe Biden for president.
I'm delighted to endorse and support Joe Biden for president.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
Super Tuesday, not so super for the divided Dems. How moderates are frantically uniting behind and supporting the gaftastic Joe Biden to try and stop the 78-year-old socialist with the 77-year-old former vice president. But is it all too little and really too late? Karl Rove, we've never seen anything quite like this. I know you're a student of history. I'm shocked. I was getting alerts at 2 and 3 o'clock yesterday to see these two moderates come over. And then Beto O'Rourke said, I'm here too. And they announced it in Texas yesterday. Yeah. Will it make a difference?
Yeah, it'll make a difference because it gives them a sense of momentum going into the vote today. Problem is that the early vote is big. 1,231,000 Texans voted in the Democratic primary as of the close of early voting on Friday night. And that's going to be about 40-45% of the total. So, yeah, it'll have an impact. It'll cause people to say, well, I was going to vote for one of those three people, or I might have been going for Bloomberg, but it looks like Biden is the best alternative. I'm going to go for him. But let's not kid ourselves. These are not moderates. By and large, these are traditional Democratic liberals who are scared to death of losing their party to something even further left than they are.
Absolutely. 1,991 delegates are needed to lock up the nomination. 1,357 are at stake on Super Tuesday, including Texas and California. And if another candidate doesn't get 15% of the vote, you get all the delegates, correct?
That's correct. But, there may be some congressional districts where that happens. But statewide, you're going to have two and potentially three people in most states. Outside of maybe Massachusetts, which might have four people who get above 15%, I think we're likely to see in most states two or three at most getting delegates, namely Sanders, Biden, and Bloomberg.
So right now, I'm looking at all the Real Clear averages going in. The only place in which Biden was leading was North Carolina.
Yeah.
And in Virginia, Bloomberg was second.
Yeah.
And in other places, Elizabeth Warren was second in Massachusetts.
Right.
Sanders was first everywhere. Has anything changed because since that debate, the 60 Minutes interview, and more examination of Sanders, has anything changed just on the Sanders examination?
Well, yes. Because, look, take a look at Sanders' winning percentages. He won Iowa with the lowest percentage in the history of the Iowa caucus. I think it was like 26%. He won New Hampshire with the lowest percentage. He won New Hampshire last time around with 60% of the vote. This time he won it with 32 points less. So if you've got what he said, the divided field, everything being carved up among five or six candidates was helping him because he was first among five or six candidates. What's going to happen if it ends up being him versus, say, one or two others? And so the race collapsing down, winnowing out all these lesser lights is going to be largely to the disadvantage of Sanders and largely to the advantage of whoever's left, meaning at this point Biden and Bloomberg. And I would suspect after tonight, after spending, $451 million on TV alone, we're going to find out that he spent $600 million, I think probably north of $800 million when you toss into digital and overhead and ground game and staff and everything. If Bloomberg ends up being, second in a couple of states and third in a number of other states, but first nowhere, that seems to me to be a really poor return on investment.
And is he hurting Biden?
Well, I think so, but if you talk to the Bloomberg people, they say no, our data shows that our vote would splinter among several candidates and Bernie would get a chunk of it and others would get a chunk of it, but my gut just tells me given the nature of his message, yes, he's hurting the alternative to Biden. If he's not the alternative Sanders, if he's not in second place and in the alternative, then yeah, he's hurting Biden.
Karl Rove here, Biden Super PAC says their metric shows that Bloomberg's presence is boosting Sanders. But Bloomberg's got a plan, even though he has not spent on any state beyond Super Tuesday, according to a report that we could see. Cut 13.
The most likely scenario for the Democratic Party is that nobody has a majority, and then it goes to a convention where there's horse trading and everybody decides to compromise on, doesn't even have to be one of the two leading candidates. It could be somebody that had only a small number of delegates.
So he wants to get to the finals and get past the first round. No one gets 1,900, and then they start trading.
Yeah. Well, That's right. And I think he's probably accurate. I wrote this in early January that I thought we'd have the contested Democratic convention. That is to say, the first time since 1952 that it goes beyond one ballot. But there gets to be a point right now, today, ironically enough, with the given the fact that you have early voting and you've got, you know, Warren and other candidates who just recently got out and whose early votes are cast for Mayor Pete and for Amy Klobuchar. You know, Bloomberg plays a minor role in dividing the vote up. When he gets more than 15%, it sort of semi-reduces Bernie's share of the total. Think about it this way. Say Bernie gets 40. Let's say Biden gets 20. Let's say nobody gets over 15. Then you divide those votes between 40 and 20. That's the total universe that you have to figure the division of the vote on. If, on the other hand, you got Bloomberg in there for 15 points, then it's 15, 30, and 40. And ironically enough, that reduces the total share of the vote that Bernie's got and the total number of delegates that he's got.
So, Carl, if John McCain pulled ahead of George Bush, I'd say, okay, let's look at the candidates. If John Kerry pulled ahead of Gephardt, I think if I remember correctly, okay, they're different candidates.
Right.
Would I look at Joe Biden? And I think he's been terrible on performance. It's not
dreadful.
Like he's had a bad message. Every once in a while you have the wrong message,
yeah.
Right? John McCain was for the surge. He was soaring. The economy fell apart. He's the wrong guy on the economy.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
But listen to even Joe Biden yesterday.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing. Look, tomorrow's Superstar Tuesday, and I want to thank you all. I tell you what, I'm rushing ahead, aren't I?
What about he finally is doing free media, and he did all the Sunday shows after a South Carolina win.
Yeah.
And Eric, if you could pull it up yesterday from Chris Wallace, how he signed off with Chris Wallace after he said, I'm going to take on President Trump. And he calls me Sleepy Joe. He'll find out who's sleepy. And then, okay, I'm like saying, well, it wasn't a bad interview. Okay, let's see what happens. Maybe he's going to start doing more interviews and trying to win the way he can.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. Thanks for your time. Please come back in less than 13 years, sir.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much.
All right. It's Chris, but
Chris.
Anyway.
I just did Chris. No, I just did Chuck. I tell you what, man, these are back-to-back. Anyway.
No, it's
I don't
okay.
Know how you do it early in the morning, too.
Safe travels on Appreciate the campaign it. Trail. Thank you, sir.
I mean, look, we all know I'm on this microphone. We're on 6 hours a day. You can probably pull up a lot of tape on me. But this is consistent. This is concerning. To the point where if he was in third place, I was going to stop playing these montages. That's how legitimately concerned I am about his mental health.
Yeah. Well, he's getting up there, and he's always been goofy. He's always been goofy.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look.
This bad?
Well, no. But, I mean, has he always been a paragon of, you know, crisp, short sentences that make sense? No, he's been goofy. And, I don't know. Have I ever told you about the story about going to the Bush to the Obama White House for the unveiling of the President 43's portrait? It's a great ceremony. Each president holds a ceremony to unveil the portrait of their predecessor. And so I got invited to go, and I was seated in the second row and about six seats off of the center. And in the first, right in front of me are six seats. And they bring in Doro and Bobby Cook, who you're going to have Doro on just in a few minutes. And then they bring in Joe and Jill Biden and 41 and Barbara. And Joe Biden is sitting right in front of me. He turns around and sees me and says, You're the best. I know you're not on our side, but you're the best. And starts thumping me in the chest and keeps going on and on. And you're the best. I wish you were on our side. You're the best. David Petraeus is sitting next to me with this horrified look on his face because here's this guy thumping me in the chest. I can't see them because I'm looking at Biden, but I hear all the cameras in the White House press pool at the end of the room clicking as Biden is thumping me in the chest. And it was goofy. But you know what? There's a certain endearingness about that. I'm not certain how big a deficit that is because people look at it and say, I think – you know what? He's sort of goofy, and he mangles things. What I worry about is they look at him also and say, you know what? Things would return to sort of normal, and I could live for 4 years with that guy in there.
You worry that as somebody who wants to see Donald Trump reelected.
Well, I just think it's very – I think Biden, for whatever his flaws are, People recognize those flaws. People do not vote for president saying, my guy or gal is perfect. Most people say, I've got a reasonable judgment about it. Remember, 9% of the people who of the total electorate voted for Donald Trump, saying that they didn't think he was qualified by temperament, experience, or qualifications to be president. But they voted for him because he was an agent of change and they hated Hillary Clinton. So, and he got 37% said, I'd like him. He's qualified, experienced, temperament is right, and he's an agent of change, and I'm voting for him. But 9%, the difference between 37 and the 46 he got, came from people who said, well, we'll be better off with him, even though I don't like him.
You're the expert. I just look at a guy that I don't think should be president. Cut 8.
You're just a simple guy.
Here we go. Let's listen to this.
By the way, how many of you did really well with that $1.9 trillion tax cut that increased? Really in good shape, right? Really changed your... Well, you did. Well, that's good. I'm glad to see you're doing well already. And I'm good. But guess what? If you elect me, you're not going to have your taxes are going to be raised, not cut, if you benefit from that.
Carl, you're witness.
Look. What do we get out of that? That he's going to raise taxes on people like him, on rich people. I mean, look. I grant you, I accept everything you have to say, but don't think he's going to be counted out simply because of that. People make a.
Does performance matter though?
Performance matters. Performance matters, but the meta message matters more. Think about Jimmy Carter. You know the Playboy magazine interview. But the big overall message was he'll change. He's a Christian. He'll restore dignity to the White House after Richard Nixon. We want to have somebody who represents a moral view, and we voted for him, even though we knew a lot of weaknesses. So I say this because if Biden ends up being Donald Trump's opponent, do not underestimate him.
I understand that.
Do not underestimate
him. But I'm not in the game. I'm analyzing the game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm in the studio.
Yeah, right? I get that. But so you got to analyze from the studio, outside the studio, the impact on ordinary voters and how they perceive it. And the people who are up for grabs in this election are people who say, I sort of like what Donald Trump has done, but I don't like how he handles himself. And those people are going to say, well, you know what? He's goofy, but that's okay. I can deal with goofiness.
Back in a moment. Carl Rove, not goofy, and I like
him, too. Thank you.
Like Joe Biden likes him, although I'm not going to thump your chest.
Yeah, but please don't. It was very embarrassing. It was very, mortifying.
Back in a moment.
Go, you know the thing.
Holding our politicians' feet to the fire, no matter who they are. That's Brian Kilmeade.
Sponsored by Palm Beach Research. Text and data rates may apply.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is a household name in the USA. You've seen her on Fox News and across the internet for years. Judge Pirro speaks her mind, and she doesn't mince words when it comes to the hypocrisy from the deep state D.C. swamp. And now Judge Pirro is exposing the insiders and politicians who have been setting themselves up to make fortunes in the cannabis sector. In a surprising turn, dozens of D.C. insiders who have attacked marijuana for years are now plowing millions into backdoor cannabis investments. Judge Pirro's exclusive expose on this cannabis conspiracy is yours free when you text Judge to 48542 now. We'll send you a link to a video presentation that shows you who these politicians are and how you can take advantage of the same opportunities to profit that these DC insiders have been keeping to themselves. They have changed their thinking from lock 'em up to light 'em up. You can find out which companies are set for explosive growth. Text Judge to 48542. Get Judge Jeanine Pirro's expose on the cannabis conspiracy. Text the word Judge to 48542.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements that I take every day, Qnol Turmeric. Qnol Turmeric may help with healthy joints and inflammation support. Unlike many regular turmeric supplements, Qnol's soluble formula offers superior absorption, which is very important to get more of the full benefits of turmeric. Qnol Turmeric is the brand I trust.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 98-year-old Girl Scout from Pennsylvania who continues her mission to sell Girl Scout cookies makes today's Dean's List. Ronnie Backenstow started selling cookies when she was 10 years old, and she's still on the job, even part of a troop all these years later. Her fellow scouts joined her for a cookie sale at Phoebe Burke's, a retirement community in Wernersville. Troop leader Barbara Allen Pirelli says Ronnie's energy is nonstop, and her young fellow scouts say she makes them laugh. Ronnie says the Girl Scouts have taught her so much. She says it's part of living. That's what Girl Scouting is. It teaches you how to live. Ronnie says when she first started selling cookies in the 1930s, there were only three different kinds, and they only cost 15 cents. Her favorite Girl Scout cookie? Peanut butter. Mine too, Ronnie, and the Thin Mints. Keep on selling, my friend. I'll take two boxes, by the way. You're awesome, and you made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Jesse Ed Davis, one of the few successful Native American rock artists, was well known as a session guitarist who recorded solo albums, as well as working with a who's who of major artists in the 1970s and 80s. In a 1972 interview, Jesse discussed recording albums in the heyday of AM radio's programming demands.
To have to consider the fact that you're making a commercial product, have to consider the fact that you have to fit in line with the company's image, you have to consider the fact that you have to try and get your record played on AM radio, is almost incredible limitation on a person's music. And I really find it very degrading, personally. Do you bend to the way they want you to play, or do you be true to your music, your art? You know, it's so rough.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is House Call for Health. The pain after surgery can be severe when the bills come in. A new study looks at surprise medical bills. Researchers at the University of Michigan focused on elective procedures and surgeries scheduled in advance. They looked at patients who used a hospital and surgeon who accepted their health insurance. But the patients did not check into the anesthesiologist or pathologists. These doctors were out of network, not part of the insurance plan. That means their health plan paid a smaller percentage of the bill. This is known as balance billing. Insurance pays part, and you pay the balance. The study found the average bill was more than $2,000. The study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds the financial burden is hardest on lower-income patients, where a large surprise bill can cause major hardship. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
If for some reason Biden gets the nomination, we have to go all in. We can't let this man. We are looking for the nomination. This is important. This is important. This is very, very important. We are looking at two existential crises, democracy and the world, the earth.
Right.
If we don't take this presidency away, we're going to lose democracy and we're going to lose our ability to live on the earth.
So that's it. Besides that, there's nothing at stake this election. Rob Reiner, Meathead from All in Family on MSNBC yesterday. Carl Rove, do you also agree that this election will have anything to do with the life on earth?
Life as we know it will end.
And you're a guy that you love politics.
Yeah. I mean, you understand
that passion against Trump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's out there. And you know, part of it is spun up by the issue, you know, on the left, the issue of climate. But a lot of it is just aimed at Trump. And, yeah, it's spun up. There's a, you know, there is energy on the other side. Let's not kid ourselves. And these people that, you know, I travel a lot. So I run into people, oh, I love Trump. And he's going to win in a huge landslide. And I say, if you think like that, then he's going to lose. Because he is in for the race of his life. They have spent 4 years creating animosity towards him and stirring themselves up.
Right.
And the idea that they're not going to come out in droves to vote this fall is we're kidding ourselves.
Carl, do you see any scenario where the Sanders group coalesces with the Biden group?
Well,
I don't.
Yeah, you got to. Well, but we got to differentiate between the Sandinistas, the true believers, and Sanders voters. And there will be a bunch of the Sanders voters who will say, you know, I'm going to vote for the Democrat because I hate Trump. But last time around, one out of every eight Bernie primary voters supported Donald Trump in the general election. Now, that's not a lot, 12%. But, you know, it's dispositive in states like, you know, Michigan, where he wins by 11,000 votes. That could have been the margin. So, but look, that should not enter into what the Democrats do. This is an existential – you talk about existential threats. The Democratic Party, as we know it, would be blown up by Bernie Sanders taking command of it. Well, the Democrats faced this before with Henry Wallace and the progressives, and they dealt with these, you know, sort of Russia-loving left-wingers by basically beating them. And they're going to have to beat this guy as well.
And how – Super Tuesday, does Sanders, in your estimation, Karlov, win big or small?
Well, I think he wins, but the question is how bigly is it? I mean, you know – the math matters. If my gut tells me that if he's like 400, you know, of the 1,300 votes, let's assume that he has a lead of 400, that would mean that there'd be roughly, he'd get 850 and then everybody else would get the balance.
Yeah.
500 and some odd. That'd be problematic because you just have to chip away at that. On the other hand, if he's 150 ahead or 200 ahead, and particularly if you add that together, the Bloomberg delegates, whoever's elected a Bloomberg delegate on Tuesday, they ain't voting at the convention for Bernie Sanders.
Gotcha. 1357 at stake, 14 states. Call Rove. It's going to be fun.
As Biden and Sanders fight to the finish.
Earth's been knocked down. This is your campaign. We are very much alive.
We're going to win because the people understand it is our campaign. Let's go on to the White House.
Six new states come into play with critical delegates up for grabs. Every person counts. Brett and Martha anchor special coverage with insight and analysis from our all-star panel. Tuesday, starting at 6 and 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. Democracy 2020. America is watching. Tuesday, it's a Fox News Radio Democracy 2020 special, hosted by Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, with key insight from Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krausauer and correspondents around the country.
So get back up and take back this country!
From Idaho to Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington, all the latest info on all six primaries.
We are the campaign to defeat Donald Trump.
Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen live on the Fox News app.
This is House Call for Health. For people with type 1 diabetes, insulin keeps them alive, but can cost a fortune. Researchers are sounding the alarm about a dangerous practice, people buying their insulin on Craigslist. The reason is obvious. A vial of insulin can be purchased on Craigslist for $30, while the list price is around $400. Writing in the Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers warn that insulin bought this way may not have been handled properly, but the study focuses more on the sellers. In many cases, they are diabetes patients themselves who are selling some of their own medication, rationing their doses to make some money. Not only is this dangerous, it's illegal. The authors of the study say it shows that many people are simply broke, and there needs to be price reform so that diabetic patients can afford the insulin they need. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
As Biden and Sanders fight to the finish.
Earth's been knocked down. This is your campaign. We are very much alive.
We're going to win because the people understand it is our campaign. Let's go on to the White House.
Six new states come into play with critical delegates up for grabs. Every person counts. Brett and Martha anchor special coverage with insight and analysis from our all-star panel. Tuesday, starting at 6 and 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. Democracy 2020. America is watching. Tuesday, it's a Fox News Radio Democracy 2020 special, hosted by Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, with key insight from Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krausauer and correspondents around the country.
So get back up and take back this country!
From Idaho to Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington, all the latest info on all six primaries.
We are the campaign to defeat Donald Trump.
Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen live on the Fox News app.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1991.
The liberation of Kuwait has begun. In conjunction with the forces of our coalition partners, the United States has moved under the code name Operation Desert Storm.
Kuwait is liberated. Iraq's army is defeated. Our military objectives are met.
I don't know too much about him, but I knew that people was complaining about his apartment smelling. You know, everybody smelled a funny odor, but nobody knew what it was.
This is high-tech lynching. I cannot shake off these accusations because they play to the worst stereotypes we have about black men in this country.
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today.
News as it happened then,
news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. Make no mistake about it, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman's rights pioneer, believes there should be an equal rights amendment in the U.S. Constitution.
Every constitution in the world written since the year 1950, even Afghanistan, has the equivalent of an equal rights amendment, and we don't.
But at a forum at Georgetown University, Justice Ginsburg made it clear she does not support reviving the ERA, which fell short of enough states to ratify it in the 1980s, the deadline set by Congress, but was just removed by Virginia.
Well, I would like to see a new beginning. I'd like it to start over. There's too much controversy about latecomers, Virginia, long after the deadline passed.
Justice Ginsburg says she would like her granddaughters to know their rights are protected in the Constitution. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Brian Kilmeade. It's my privilege to have in studio. If you're smart enough to be a subscriber to Fox Nation, you're seeing it. Gene Becker and Dora Bush Cook, co-authors of Pearls of Wisdom, little pieces of advice that go a long way. It's really pearls of wisdom from First Lady Barbara Bush, from the people that knew her best, and a lot has to do with your family. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Brian.
And everyone knows, Dora, where you're, how you know connected with the Bush family. But, Gene, you're also an MVP of the Bush family. when did you first start working with them?
I was one of Barbara Bush's deputy press secretaries at the White House. I literally started on January 20th, 1989, the day President Bush was sworn in. And I followed them to Houston to help her with her memoirs. And then I was President Bush's chief of staff for the last 25 years.
Wow. That's it?
That's it.
And I remember when I did the book, The Games You Can, I wanted to talk about what people did in sports that shaped their life. And, of course, Bush 41 was this fantastic baseball player who lowballed, like all you guys do. You never want to talk about yourselves in any positive fashion because I wasn't that good. But everyone knows how good your dad was. Mm-hmm. And you set that up. And everyone just said, you got to go to Gene Becker if you want anything done with the Bush family.
I was the gatekeeper.
That's true. Right.
Yeah.
And must, how have you dealt with the loss? Do you feel like you lost a family member?
President Bush, definitely left a hole in my life. I saw him almost every single day, but I was okay because he was ready. He was ready to go. So if he was ready, I was ready.
Right.
And I'm writing a book about him now, and that helps a lot. It's very cathartic.
But it seemed like, Dora, it seemed like your mom was somebody who was always throwing out pearls of wisdom. That's why this book is so perfect. And tell me about who contributed to the book.
So everyone in our family, pretty much. I have four brothers. My four brothers, all of my nieces and nephews, all my children, all the people that were part of mom and dad's life in various ways, the people that worked for them and with them, and everyone from cabinet secretaries, former presidents, to former personal aides, to good friends.
All right, so let's share some stories. I know that I saw some words from Jeb in there, some right to the point, don't ever complain, you know, take action, don't sit around. Gene, what are some pearls of wisdom that you want to share?
Some of them are just very practical advice. like read, make your bed, say please, say thank you. And then she gives advice. My favorite advice is when she talks about be yourself. Don't let someone else define you. You have two choices in life. You can choose to like your life or you can choose to not like your life. And she always said, choose happy. Choose to be happy, which is probably the most important thing I learned from
and
her.
And I know she didn't have the easiest life, too, because President Bush was away a lot in his different positions. She was alone a lot. Didn't necessarily feel part of the Washington scene for a while, correct?
Well, she – and I say in the book when, you know, if people ask why – was Barbara Bush so wise? She really was wise. I said, just think about her life. She didn't get along with her mother. Her fiancé was shot down when she was 19 years old. He moved her to Texas from her family and friends on the East Coast. And in the first house they lived in, they shared a bathroom with a mother-daughter prostitute team. He moved her all over the country. They lost their daughter, Robin, when she was 3 years old. By the time she was 28 years old, Barbara Bush lived more life than most of us will in a lifetime. And it made her wise right. and tough.
Doro, what was your vision of your mom?
Mom was tough. I loved what Jeb said about her at her funeral. He called her the benevolent dictator. and she wasn't always benevolent. But there was a purpose behind that, and she wanted to make sure as children growing up that we were had our values in the right place, and so she was a great mom.
And always about giving back, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the Bush family has a lot. It's an obligation almost to give to others.
Yeah, so this book actually is all the proceeds. Jean generously donated all the proceeds to this book to the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy. And, of course, literacy was Mom's passion. Early on, she chose literacy because she realized that everything she worried about, all the problems in life could be solved if everyone could read, write, and comprehend. So she has this foundation, which is tackling the problem of illiteracy.
Jean, talk about the transition leaving the White House. How did Mrs. Bush handle it?
You know, she was devastated. Her husband lost his reelection bid, of course. But I also know she was very happy to get back to private life.
Because 2 years, 8 years as vice president, too,
exactly.
In Washington, right?
In Washington, and of course, living in China, and UN ambassador, and she was happy to be home. She started driving again. I learned the hard way, tried not to ride with her.
Terrible driver.
Well, I mean, she hadn't driven for how many years? And it didn't help that your father bought her a Trans Am that first summer. She had a Trans Am convertible in Kennebunkport, and she couldn't see out of it. She would get out of the car at some intersections and look both ways to see if anyone was coming. It was funny.
Yeah.
But she started cooking again, and she was a terrible cook. But she just loved being back to private life, and she started writing her memoirs. So she probably adjusted faster than President Bush did.
And, Doro, even though your brother was president, and another brother ran for president as governor, he treated you all equal. It was not like, hell, you know, the oldest one's president, I'm going to treat him
special.
No,
I mean, I remember we were sitting around in Mom and Dad's bedroom in Kennebunkport, and my brother George, President Bush 43, had his feet on the coffee table, and Mom walks in and she said, I don't care if you were president of the United States. Get your feet off my coffee table. I love that story.
It's all everyone's equal. And I also think it was harder on her. She would explain, I think, Jean, you would know better, to have her son president than her husband.
Absolutely. They both, President and Mrs. Bush, 41, said it was much harder to watch their son. Mrs. Bush was smart, though. She turned TV off. She would not listen to the news. She would not read the newspapers, not about her son. President Bush listened to and read everything. And the 43rd president of the United States, he was great while he was in the White House. He would call his dad and say, Dad, it's okay. I'm okay. Quit worrying about this. But it was harder for them to watch their son be attacked and criticized. True. They couldn't stand it.
And for you, Dora, your brother, as opposed to your dad?
It was hard. It was hard both. You know, when people you love are being criticized and things are being said that you know are untrue, it's hard.
The other thing that bleeds through with the Bushes is the thoughtfulness. Where does that come from? Did that come out in this book? You're always thinking about other people. It's always a handwritten note to somebody at some time. But do you remember your mom drilling that into you?
Oh, yeah. She had a lot of rules for us. And one of them was write thank you notes. Thank people who have gone out of their way for you. And my dad was the same way. I mean, they both were had just these civil rules of life that, you know, they taught us by example, and so we learned a lot.
Right. And when my mom passed away, he wrote me a handwritten letter, which I have framed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And also when I spoke at the Bush 43 Library, he missed it, and it was which he's allowed. it was winter. And he wrote me a note just saying that he heard great things about it. Sorry, I missed you. I'll see you next time. And, I mean, to get a letter like that on the Bush letterhead, it was just unbelievable.
Probably one of the most touching things your dad did was just not that long ago when the son of one of his Secret Service agents had leukemia. He was 3 years old, and he lost all his hair because of chemotherapy. So his father, a Secret Service agent who was on President Bush's detail, shaved his head in support of his son. Then President Bush's entire Secret Service detail shaved their head in support of their colleague. And President Bush shaved his head. He was like 89, 90 years old. I said, what if the hair doesn't grow back? He didn't care. But he shaved his head, and the picture of him bald and 3-year-old Patrick bald went viral. But it was just so him. He wanted to be supportive, even if it meant being bald for a while.
So here's a question that Mrs. Bush was asked by Steve Ducey. Let's listen.
You also say, I married the first man I ever kissed. When I tell this to my children, they just about throw up.
Right. They say, that couldn't be true. I said, well, it is true. The first person actually kissed me in public. It wasn't even dramatic, exciting, but I almost fainted.
So cute.
You heard that before.
They really had the greatest love story of all time. I mean, they adored each other, and they were both very different. Mom was feisty and spoke her mind, and Dad was loving and kind, and you know, they just complimented each other and adored each other.
Right. I'm going to be speaking at the Bush 41 Library, your dad's, Houston Baptist University. Houston Baptist, yeah, University, and I'll be doing that Thursday.
Nice.
And then March 6th, I'll be at the Sam Houston Memorial Museum. There's a lot of Texas pride in your family, right?
Very much.
I know your dad was born in Connecticut, but mm-hmm. they became Texans.
Well, they moved early on in their marriage to West Texas, which was almost unheard of. There were tumbleweeds rolling around, and so it was a completely different experience than their upbringing. But, you know, they lived in Texas more, you know, for more years than anything, and so they, of course, loved Texas.
I think that reading your dad's story about being Connecticut, you know, his dad was a senator, very well respected, mm-hmm. but he had to do things on his own. So he wanted to start and be a success on his own. Gene, how important was that, and how did that come out for both of them? They took big risks, right?
They
had to go out
risks.
And had to have people that they knew invest in them and their oil business.
They could have had a very safe life on the East Coast. President Bush could have had a great job in New York City on Wall Street. But they chose instead to move to Texas, not just Texas. They moved to East Texas. And the first place they lived as newlyweds, George W. was a baby. They shared a bathroom. They had a duplex. And they shared a bathroom with a mother-daughter prostitution team. Now, you can't make that up. But as Mrs. Bush wrote about in her memoirs, you grow up really fast. When, I mean, they had no family, they knew no one in Odessa, Texas, but they loved Texas. President Bush, we actually, this is sort of personal, but we, toward the end of his life in Kennebunkport, we gave him the choice of, we knew his time was coming to an end, and we were in Maine, and we gave him the choice of staying in Maine for a while longer. And he literally looked at me and said, are you asking me where I want to die? And I said, maybe. He says, I want to go home. He meant Texas.
Wow.
Texas was home.
And he made it through the summer.
Yes.
Right? He did make it through the summer.
He wanted one more summer in Maine, and he did that.
And it was about his kids. Just like 2 nights before Mrs. Bush died, we were worried about him. Mm-hmm. And Evan and I, his aide, were talking to him. And I can't remember what we asked him, but he said, I'm not going anywhere for a while. He says, my kids need me. Sweet moment.
Yeah.
Because they knew their grandmother, their mom, mm-hmm. was passing and had to mm-hmm. be there. And what about the surprise of him going in when your mom had the viewing after she passed away?
Yeah.
He went out there and he greeted people.
Well, I was sitting with him. We were watching it live stream, and Dad was asking questions about it. And finally he said, do you want to go? And I said, well, Dad, only if you feel up to it. He said, no, I think I should go. And so we went. And we had a private moment with Mom, and Dad asked funny questions like, "Who?" I said, Dad, aren't the flowers beautiful? Because there was the most beautiful flowers on top of Mom's coffin there. And Dad said, well, who paid for those flowers? I said, I think you did, Dad. And he said, good, good. And then finally the people came in, and he just sat there and greeted every single person. And people were shocked that he was actually there. And he was wonderful.
My opinion, because my grandparents are from Ireland, and they actually thought, like, you know, when you die, like, they the first thing – when people visit me from Ireland, do you know where they want to see? They want to see everybody's grave. Like,
right.
They don't look at death maybe like we look at death. They look at death as just the next step. Like, you know, next year I'm going off to college. You know, things are going to be a little different. I'm going to be in high school. You know, I'm going to be out of my own. And I sense that maybe your dad didn't have the sadness that many anticipated or that you would think he would, because he believes, his, you know, your mom was in a better place.
Well,
he
definitely believes in heaven, mm-hmm. and he asked a lot of questions about heaven before he died, wanting to know if he'd see Robin. This is before Mom died, and talking to his minister, and what's it like, and things like that. And so I think you're right.
Right. But this book is about what they said what Mrs. Bush said as she lived. Pearls of wisdom, little piece of advice that go a long way. Doro, thanks for coming in. Gene, great to see you again and in person, but thanks again for setting up these interviews that you have in the past with me. I truly appreciate it.
It was an honor.
Right, and this is a great book, and you taped an interview because of Super Tuesday and the disaster in Nashville with that tornado coming through, but Pearls of Wisdom will also be on Fox and Friends.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks,
in a moment.
Brian.
Gold is on a run again. Experts say the coronavirus could tank global economies, so investors are heading for safe havens to avoid losing value in their IRAs, 401ks, and stocks. Don't stand on the sidelines and watch your accounts dwindle day by day. Head for safety and catch the gold rally now. Protect and grow your financial future today with a call to American Bullion, the leader in gold investments. You have valid concerns, and we have simple solutions for all needs and budgets. In fact, we specialize in first-time gold buyers just like you. Find out about American Bullion's hassle-free process to transfer any portion of your IRA, 401k, or stocks into the long-term safety of a gold IRA today. Call 800-600-4849 and ask about our free gold guide. Call 800-600-4849. Grow your financial future with the rising value of physical gold and protect yourself during this worldwide crisis. Call the leader, American Bullion, 800-600-4849.
Every day in our community, tough breaks happen to honest folks. Layoffs happen to single parents. Evictions happen to families with babies. Empty bank accounts happen to hungry people. But thankfully, every day in our community, good people happen to bad things. Your sustaining monthly gift of just $25 doubles the Salvation Army's ability to assist our neighbors battling poverty and help them win. Join the fight for good at givewestwood.org. Westwood.org, sponsored by the Salvation Army.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I recommend that patients taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol consider taking Qnall CoQ10 supplements with their prescribed regimen. Statin drugs may lower CoQ10 levels, which is an important nutrient for heart health. Qnall CoQ10 has the number one cardiologist recommended form of CoQ10. Qnall is the brand I recommend considering with your statin medication.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A five-year-old boy who saved his family from a fire in Georgia makes today's Dean's List. A family of nine say they wouldn't have escaped a house fire if it weren't for Noah Woods, who carried his two-year-old sister and their dog out of the Bartow County house and then went back in to alert the rest of the family. The boy says he saw the flames on the side of his bed when he woke up, but he didn't know where they came from. That's when he jumped into action. Noah says he picked up his sister Lily, grabbed the dog, and got out. He then returned to the house, ran up the stairs, and told his uncle to help everyone else get out. Noah's grandfather says if it wasn't for Noah, they would all be asleep and not know what was happening. Bartow County fire officials say the electrical fire originated in an outlet in the room that Noah and Lily share. No one was hurt except for a small burn on Noah's wrist. The family didn't have insurance, but their community is coming together to help them all. Good work, Noah. You are a real life hero. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Welcome to Lego Masters.
I'm Ashley DeVorgan with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Fox's Lego Masters judges, Jamie Berard and Amy Corbett, who shared what they're looking for from these Lego enthusiast contestants on the show.
So we're really looking at their storytelling, their creativity, and their technical abilities. And each challenge pushes them a little bit differently and takes some of the teams out of their comfort zone.
They say the challenges the contestants are taking on will help show off a variety of skills.
And it's really fun because some of these challenges involve the minifigure world, and it's about storytelling and creating a universe, but then there's others that it's about functionality. They need to have something big that's moving, or they make a sculpture that's massive. So it's really testing people's different abilities with the bricks.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure, but it's really important that they come up with a good plan from the start, that they work well as a team, and that they really listen to what the challenge is and what we're looking for, so that they can hit those key points with their build.
Oh my God.
Get your brick on!
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
To your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Here's Biden today, sharp as a tack, quoting the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by you know the thing.
I could do better than that, and I'm from the country you declared independence from.
How funny is that? I mean, that's James Corden. It's so good to watch a late-night show that doesn't open up with Trump's hair or something about what he said or coronavirus. He just absolutely because – and that's why the cold open for SNL this Saturday was so good, because they opened up with the farce that is on the left. They're certainly funny, even with the best candidate in the world. There's things to make fun of about elections in a good, humorous way without a mean-spirited way. And that's what – see James Corden open up with that. He actually had another couple of jokes after that just on Joe Biden. But I thought that was interesting, and it was always great to get the Bush perspective on what's going on now, the first family of this country. We know this. We're looking at now 19 dead with the tornado slamming in last night with only seconds notice into Nashville, some of it right down Broadway. We're finding out details on that. We also have a situation where coming into today on Super Tuesday, Sanders had 56 delegates, Biden had 48, Warren had 8, Bloomberg and Gabbard were being shut out. Now, with 14 states and 1,357 Democratic delegates up for grabs and 1,991 needed to pass and get the nomination, no one's going to get the nomination, I don't believe, going into the convention. But Bernie Sanders, with the biggest crowds, has lost the momentum after South Carolina, and they're desperately on the left trying to give Joe Biden that momentum. The difference between Trump, who offended many who came from the outside and upset the establishment with Jeb Bush and Ted Cruz, perhaps, and now, is that Trump really ran as a Republican? Bernie Sanders is not. He's not even a member of the party. That's why there's a real desperation. My question to Democrats is, what were you waiting for? You go to BrianKilmeade.com. Well, go out and you go on, click on events. I'm going to be at the Houston Baptist University speaking there about Sam Houston. Go there now. Make a reservation.
Sponsored by Palm Beach Research. Text and data rates may apply.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is a household name in the USA. You've seen her on Fox News and across the internet for years. Judge Pirro speaks her mind, and she doesn't mince words when it comes to the hypocrisy from the deep state D.C. swamp. And now Judge Pirro is exposing the insiders and politicians who have been setting themselves up to make fortunes in the cannabis sector. In a surprising turn, dozens of D.C. insiders who have attacked marijuana for years are now plowing millions into backdoor cannabis investments. Judge Pirro's exclusive expose on this cannabis conspiracy is yours free when you text Judge to 48542 now. We'll send you a link to a video presentation that shows you who these politicians are and how you can take advantage of the same opportunities to profit that these D.C. insiders have been keeping to themselves. They have changed their thinking from lock 'em up to light 'em up. You can find out which companies are set for explosive growth. Text Judge to 48542. Get Judge Jeanine Pirro's expose on the cannabis conspiracy. Text the word Judge to 48542.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Barack Obama ran an almost flawless campaign in 2008, concluding with his election as the 44th president and the first African-American to lead the United States. In early 2008, he spoke to supporters in Chicago.
The challenges we face will not be solved with one meeting in one night. It will not be resolved on even a super-duper Tuesday. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Vice President Mike Pence led a coronavirus discussion in Florida Saturday. A number of topics on the list, including how it's affecting the cruise industry. Pence praised Congress for acting quickly to provide emergency funds to combat the outbreak.
I'm standing before you today, joined as I am by your governor, your two senators. The president and I couldn't be more grateful that Congress, in a remarkably short period of time, in a bipartisan spirit, has made more than $8 billion available to respond to the coronavirus.
Officials in California, meanwhile, were deciding over the weekend where to dock the Grand Princess cruise ship after 21 people there tested for the virus. There's evidence the ship, now idling off San Francisco, was the breeding ground for a deadly cluster of almost 20 cases during an earlier voyage. In Egypt, a cruise ship on the Nile with more than 150 people on board under quarantine in the southern city of Luxor after 12 positive tests, and the port of Penang in Malaysia turned away the cruise ship Costa Fortuna because 64 of the 2,000 on board are from Italy. The ship had already been rejected by Thailand and is now heading to Singapore. Bernie Sanders on the stump in Michigan this weekend.
I get inspired because I talk to groups like this. I look around this room and I see people coming from so many different backgrounds. It is beautiful. This is what America looks like at its best.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden was campaigning in St. Louis, said he's the candidate who can not only unite the Democrats, but also unite America.
If you want a nominee who'll bring the party together, who'll run a positive, progressive vision for the future, not turn this primary into a campaign of negative attacks, because that'll only reelect Donald Trump if we go that route. If you want that, join us.
New primary coming up on Tuesday. More at townhall.com.
Bastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now, like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
The coronavirus provides one Washington, D.C. entrepreneur an opportunity.
The nation's capital has pop-up shops for food and drink, and now coronavirus prevention supplies. As local stores sell out of face masks and hand sanitizer, Adelicia Patrom, owner of a co-working and event space next to Gallaudet University, saw an opportunity and jumped on it. Inside her storefront, she displays different face mask models and hand sanitizer bottles, alongside information from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Patrom says her goal isn't to get rich. Rather, she says she's providing a community service and offers discounts to those in need and to senior citizens. Keith Peters, Washington.
Saturday birthdays, Willard Scott. Remember him from the weatherman from the NBC Today show? He turned 86. Daniel J. Travanti from Hill Street Blues turned 80. Golfer Tom Lehman is 61. Breaking news and analysis, both at townhall.com. SpaceX successfully launched another load of station supplies for NASA late Friday night and nailed its 50th rocket landing.
The Falcon rocket blasted off with 4,300 pounds of equipment and experiments for the International Space Station. Just minutes later, the spent first-stage booster made a dramatic midnight landing back at Cape Canaveral, its return accompanied by sonic booms. The Dragon capsule, meanwhile, hurtled toward a Monday rendezvous with the space station. It's the 20th station deliveries for SpaceX. Patrick Foss reporting.
Federal regulators want to fine Boeing some nearly $20 million for using sensors that weren't listed as compatible with heads-up systems that let jet pilots see altitude and speed while keeping their eyes on the windshield. The FAA says Boeing installed unlisted sensors on nearly 800 planes, including Boeing 737 MAX jets and older versions of the 737. Boeing has 30 days to respond to the FAA. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Arnie on that FBN show that he so ably hosts. And John Tapper, if anyone knows about small business, the economy, and what is it like to grind it out in today's environment, as well as what's going on with the coronavirus, it's him and Michael Levitt here. Michael Levitt, former Secretary of Health and Human Services from 05 to 09, and former three-term governor, of course, of Utah, will be with us live to talk about handling the coronavirus. The market, good news, responding negatively over the last 5 days, is now up 400 points. We know how quick that can change. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
This market, for the last 2-3 weeks, as the coronavirus has become what looks like a pandemic, the volatility and the dislocations on the day-to-day basis, the market is scared, and that's why you're seeing these crazy dislocations up and down.
Yeah, and that's what we hear. The market is going up and down. Well, when will we get stability back in the markets, on our streets, in our classrooms, at our sporting events and workplaces? We'll discuss it with Mike.
Number two.
Nobody has ever been nominated for president who did not have sufficient support in their state. And for her to come out of this, there's no way to recover from this.
winners and, more importantly, losers from Super Tuesday, and one of which is Elizabeth Warren. The other is Mike Bloomberg. Where do they go, and when they do, in fact, go, what happens to the race?
Number one.
Biden's going to be ahead. And this was supposed to be Sanders' big night. This was supposed to be the night that Sanders ran up a margin of 250, 300 delegates out of California. Coast to coast here, this is a night for Joe Biden. This was supposed to be the Sanders delegate night.
And that is the reporting from Super Tuesday. Joe Biden's stunning victories that show the Dems' panic over Bernie forced them to Uncle Joe in a major way. We'll break down the vote count state by state, and I'll explain why these wins affect Trump's quest for four more years. So let's go to Michael Levitt. Michael, you could argue that the president's response in handling this emergency, this Katrina-like, this SARS challenge, whatever you might call it, will help define his reelection. How's he doing?
Well, he's following a very well-defined playbook that has been followed essentially by two administrations prior to him. So I think they're doing the right things. Fundamentally, an emergency like this is a very local emergency. Most of what happens will need to occur at the city, at the state level, at the county level, being managed by schools, by individual businesses. In fact, there's a place for all of us in the preparation. So the president, I think, is showing leadership through Vice President Pence and also Secretary Azar and many others. There'll be an involvement by almost every department of the federal government. But on the ground, it will be a very local response.
Well, I heard that you do have a detailed plan for this. That was part of your job, correct?
Yes. In 2006, 2007, it became evident that we were very unprepared for a pandemic emergency. And so the Congress, with President Bush's urging, appropriated almost $7 billion. And for the next 3 years, we worked in every state to enhance the level of preparedness for a moment like this.
So far, we have 9 dead, possible 100 people affected here, infected here. In China, 3,000 dead, if you to believe their numbers, and 10,000 infected. They've cordoned off entire cities. In New York, they said that there's been one case of somebody who works in Midtown and lives in Westchester. So with this virus in particular, you're going to get it, but you're more than likely going to survive it. How does that affect how you stop it?
There are two fundamental measures as to the seriousness of a virus. One is the speed with which it will transmit from one person to another. And the second is how serious is it or how virulent it is. This appears to be a virus that spreads very rapidly, but it has a lower level of virulence for most people, but for some it's a very deadly threat. So we have to take this seriously. There are going to be a lot of people in this country who are affected, and I think it could have a big impact on local communities and families. So we all have to be preparing. This is not a time to panic. It's a time for us to prepare, and we are in a position that we can prepare better than any culture in human history. These happen. This is part of biologic the biologic world, and we just have to be acknowledge that they occur and then be ready for them.
You know, I watched Sky News, and I watched it for about 4 hours yesterday just to get a perspective on the coronavirus and how the world's responding. Boris Johnson does his press conference. They respond to it. They talk about the risks with it. They talk about the plans that are in place, and they talk about how Europe's affected, Italy especially, and that's it. They don't have the backbiting and the politicking involved in something like this. But I sadly can't say that here. Listen, this is just here's a swath of what they're saying about the president's approach here.
How pathetic is it that in the midst of an international healthcare crisis, you got a president running into South Carolina trying to steal some media attention?
The Trump administration has mounted an opaque and often chaotic response to this outbreak.
Reports today is that the president has also been more concerned about the supposed impact on the stock market.
He's trying to happy talk a national health emergency.
He's reacting much, much too late, and his incompetence really does put us all at risk.
Towering and dangerous incompetence.
Well, I mean, Michael, you know what it's like to be there, to hear those critics, and you know that politics is playing a role in something that's regarding our health and safety. What's your reaction?
Well, and regrettably, that is politics. May I say that this is the burden of leadership for those who are currently serving. The hard thing about discussing a pandemic is that anything you say in advance sounds alarmist, and anything you have done or said after it occurs will be called inadequate. This is a complicated problem. I think the administration is following a playbook that's been well established. The real burden of this needs to fall on all of us. We all have to prepare. Anyone who believes that the federal government is going to ride to their rescue in a situation like this will be tragically disappointed, not because of any inadequacy of those who serve there, but because of the nature of the disaster. It happens everywhere at the same time. When we have a tornado or a weather disaster or some kind of man-made disaster, we can call on resources from different states to go to that location and to deal with it. With a pandemic, it's happening all over the world at the same time. Yep. And so we are required to be prepared as individuals, as families, as schools, as businesses, as local government. Everyone has a role here.
So, Michael, you got to come up with a test kit. The word is the test kits are ready to go now. What's possible? Well, I mean, does the local general GP get one in Pennsylvania? Do we just keep it at major medical centers? Do we give it to hospitals? Where do we get these test kits that I think would be a logical step?
So testing anytime there's a virus like this requires a bit of a startup because every virus is unique. CDC did develop a test kit. It's now they've now approved for academic medical centers and universities to create their own. There are commercial test kits that are available. We will see testing far more widely available. I think within a matter of weeks, a person will be able to get tested at their on a very local basis. But there will be some limits as to the number of people that we can or should test. Again, this goes back to all of us doing our best to do very basic things, washing our hands a lot, taking provision if we're sick not to go to work or to do our best to stay away from those who are sick. That's what ultimately will bring this potential disaster into a place where we can both survive it but continue to live our life through it.
Right. And, Michael, this is really you're one of the premier experts that talk about this. People singing your praises about the plans that you implemented and mapped out and provide. Hopefully people will call you up to dust it off and do some checklists to see if they're doing everything. But my last question to you is the after effects of this are massive. We see what's happened to the market, how much money people have lost. We see what's happened to major international companies that happen to do their production and their manufacturing in China. We watch what's happening with the airlines because travel has ground to a halt, and people are saying, I'm not going to Italy anymore. The exchange students are coming back. Some sporting events are not having fans show up, like, for example, baseball in Japan. Now, you want to keep people safe, but at the same time, you also don't want to destroy the world economy. How do you work with the different levers of the government to get on the same page?
Well, regrettably, this is a type of an emergency that is a bit different in every setting around the world. There will be times when it's safe to have a sporting event. There'll be times, candidly, when it is simply not, and that it's in everyone's best interest for people not to congregate in large groups. The key here is to listen to local public health officials and to be able to assess the situation for yourself. There will be times when travel might not be prudent. There'll be lots of times when people ought to overcome any fear they have and just move about their regular life, washing their hands, taking care to be out of the way of those who could be sick. But this is going to require judgment at a lot of levels, starting with each of us individually.
I hear you. Michael, thanks so much. And if you see things going wrong, I hope you'll come back so we can announce it and let everybody know what's happening. It's going to be a critical time. Sadly, this starts in a country we just can't trust, especially their numbers, and that's China. Michael Levitt, thank you.
Thank you for making this an issue of interest to you and your listeners.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, we do have some breaking news. Michael Bloomberg has dropped out of the race for the presidency, saying this, I quote, "I'm a believer in using data to inform decisions. After yesterday's results, the delegate math has become virtually impossible, and a viable path to the nomination no longer exists. But I remain clear-eyed about my overriding objective, victory in November, not for me, but for our country. And so, while I will not be the nominee, I will not walk away from the most important political fight of my life. I've always believed that defeating Trump starts with the uniting behind one candidate with the best shot to beat him. He is now getting behind Joe Biden." Quote, "I've known Joe for a long time. I know his decency, his honesty, and his commitment to issues that are important to our country." So he's backing Biden. He got in when Biden was faltered. And let's be honest, he's never stopped faltering in November. But Michael Bloomberg's fundamental problem was this. He got in late. Okay. But his other problem is he wanted us to look at his track record, but not actually ask him about his track record. He is more like a moderate Republican. He was hard. He was strong law enforcement. Stop and frisk was fundamentally what he was about. Not to crack down on minorities, but to protect minorities. He was tough on unions. He was fiscally responsible. He cut budgets. And he was critical of Obamacare and President Obama. He supported Lindsey Graham. He supported George W. Bush. He was a Republican who had a record to run on, but was running from it. And when they asked him about what he's done, he talked about how many Democrats he supported. He's not a charismatic guy. He doesn't have presence. He is old. For 12 years, he ran the city. He told us to respect it, but just ignore everything he did while doing it. He'll use his money, and that'll be very valuable to the Democrats. And this is another big day for Joe Biden. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Back to analyze that in just a moment.
Coming to you on a need-to-know basis, because, man, do you need to know. You're with Brian Kilmeade. Gold is on a run again. Experts say the coronavirus could tank global economies, so investors are heading for safe havens to avoid losing value in their IRAs, 401ks, and stocks. Don't stand on the sidelines and watch your accounts dwindle day by day. Head for safety and catch the gold rally now. Protect and grow your financial future today with a call to American Bullion, the leader in gold investments. You have valid concerns, and we have simple solutions for all needs and budgets. In fact, we specialize in first-time gold buyers just like you. Find out about American Bullion's hassle-free process to transfer any portion of your IRA, 401k, or stocks into the long-term safety of a gold IRA today. Call 800-600-4849 and ask about our free gold guide. Call 800-600-4849. Grow your financial future with the rising value of physical gold and protect yourself during this worldwide crisis. Call the leader, American Bullion. 800-600-4849.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements that I take every day, Qnol Turmeric. Qnol Turmeric may help with healthy joints and inflammation support. Unlike many regular turmeric supplements, Qnol's soluble formula offers superior absorption, which is very important to get more of the full benefits of turmeric. Qnol Turmeric is the brand I trust.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
This is Fox on Justice. Rod Blagojevich sees the clemency grant by President Trump as proof of his innocence.
There is no crime. There's no quid pro quo.
The former Illinois governor says he was wrongfully convicted of trying to sell a Senate appointment in exchange for campaign contributions. Blagojevich telling Fox News he was victimized by prosecutors with unchecked power.
There's a small clique of some of the same people in the Justice Department who did it to me, and they've been trying to do it to President Trump.
Some legal scholars see the cases of Blagojevich, Bernard Kerik, and Michael Milken differently.
Conduct that is eerily similar to what the president himself has been accused of doing.
Juliet Sorensen, law professor at Northwestern University, points to their connections to the president.
So that sends a message that gets a response from like.
With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. You've probably seen photos and videos of health workers in China conducting screenings for the coronavirus. In many cases, they use a thermometer gun to check for fever, a key symptom of the virus. But U.S. health officials say while screenings are a great idea, thermometer guns are not reliable. The thermometer uses infrared sensors to measure temperature. But if the device is held too far away or too close, it won't get an accurate reading. In addition, some patients may be carrying the virus but are not yet running a fever. Dr. Michael Ryan with the World Health Organization admits no test is perfect.
There's always a small chance of a false positive or a false negative. Someone who's told they're positive when they don't have the virus, or sometimes someone told you don't have the virus and they subsequently turn out to have that virus.
For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
October 30th, 1974. It was the Rumble in the Jungle. World heavyweight champion George Foreman and former world champion Muhammad Ali entered the ring in Zaire in one of the first Don King promoted boxing matches. Muhammad Ali regained the world title from a younger and stronger Foreman and spoke to the press after the fight.
I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with the whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man, I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Are you all ready for this revolution? Each one of you in the audience to take a quick moment with me. Hold the hand of the person to your right. Gonna be all right?
No, it's not. What are you doing? This is like step-by-step instructions for spreading coronavirus.
And at first I was like, why is Ilhan Omar doing this? This is crazy. But then I was like, oh man, this is actually genius when you think about it, right? Because just think about it. Think about it. You've got all of those people in that room, right? And what are all those people going to need after the germs have been exchanged? Free health care. Who do you get free health care from? Bernie Sanders. Boom.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ilhan Omar, by the way, he's the one who tweeted out, it's basically time for Elizabeth Warren to drop out. And because she is the radical, somewhat socialist who calls herself a capitalist, who sees eye to eye with Bernie Sanders until, of course, he told her confidentially he doesn't think a woman could get elected. And they had that big fight. And that's part of the reason she loses her home state, doesn't get any delegates at all. This is a humiliation beyond losing New Hampshire and Iowa and Nevada. she, for some reason, still has money, made $29 million in February, is going to stick around. Why? Did they expect Joe Biden just to collapse? He just got an endorsement from Michael Bloomberg, and Bloomberg dropped out. The main reason Bloomberg dropped out, I believe, Elizabeth Warren tore him up. She even mocked. She actually was, it was actually mocked on SNL. Tore him up both times for good reason. Quick announcement. I'm going to be at the Bush 41 Foundation, Houston Baptist University. I'm going to be there tomorrow. I want everyone to go. Got some tickets left. It's free, but just got to register. You go to BrianKilmeade.com. Just click on it. You'll see it. And then on March 6th, about 2 in the afternoon until 3:30, I'll be at the Sam Houston Memorial Museum. I'm going to do a feature for Fox Nation, which you're watching me on right now, but talk about Sam Houston and the Alamo Avengers. And I'll be able to talk about it in a place named after the band, who the book is named after, which is going to be kind of really cool. But if you want to know, the news of the day that just came across is about Mike Bloomberg dropping out. You kind of got the sense that he was dropping out when Kevin Sheekey from West Palm Beach yesterday said this, cut 25.
We have not had a vote yet, so we have not had to assess. I think most Democrats in this race understand that our number one objective is defeating Donald Trump and that all of us are supporting a nominee.
Yeah, how embarrassing is this? He spends about $700 million, I believe $127 million just on Super Tuesday states, $16 million in North Carolina, $17 million in Virginia, and craters in both. I love it for a couple of reasons. It sets the precedent that you got to run. You raise money. It's part of building loyalty. No one likes knocking on doors, but if you get someone to give you $5, $10, $15, $500, they're in. They turn around. They say, yeah, I'm supporting Joe Biden. And guess what? When Joe Biden comes to town, that email comes to your house. When you support Donald Trump and you buy a hat or something, you're part of the campaign. Those emails and those clubs, you're part of that. And then you get invested in that. And you're more than likely to go to an event, talk to your friends and family at sporting events or at family events. You say, yeah, you got to support this guy. He's the greatest guy. He's just the greatest woman. But what Mike Bloomberg did is skipped all that. He skipped the early states. He went right to the big-time states. He put together the best spots with the best production value and highlighting things he did as mayor and a business person with a fine track record as the ninth richest person in the world or something ridiculous like that. And people said, no, I don't think so. Nice try. Tom Steyer, same thing. Don't think so. So keep your billions, be a good person, and be experienced. The president might have been rich, but he didn't win that race by spending his money. In fact, he barely spent. They had to convince him to spend money. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by John Taffer. He knows all about money and everything else.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
We're moving to the town of Chaldea.
These are complex times. They need to be understood in more than just a soundbite.
We're in central Hanoi, just a few blocks.
When people's lives are affected, it's important to be fast, but it's most important to be right.
Boston is a city in shock.
Information has never moved faster than it does today. It is our job to cut through it.
Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fox News Channel.
Nancy Grace is coming to Fox Nation.
I want justice. These are real people that need real answers.
This former prosecutor fights for the victims.
This is a never-ending pursuit. I look at things differently.
Because every case deserves to be heard.
I hold people accountable for their actions. And it's important victims know someone still cares.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace premieres March 9th. Sign up now and your first month is just 99 cents.
We've toiled and triumphed.
We choose to go to the moon.
We pushed mankind to new worlds. We fought for justice.
A turning point in man's search for freedom.
Free to come.
Tear down this wall.
But perhaps your greatest achievement isn't thanks to an athlete or an astronaut. It's at the very core of our country. Our greatest achievement is in your hands. Democracy 2020. Fox News. America is watching.
Nancy Grace is coming to Fox Nation.
I want justice. These are real people that need real answers.
This former prosecutor fights for the victims.
This is a never-ending pursuit. I look at things differently.
Because every case deserves to be heard.
I hold people accountable for their actions. And it's important victims know someone still cares.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace premieres March 9th. Sign up now and your first month is just 99 cents.
We've toiled and triumphed.
We choose to go to the moon.
And pushed mankind to new worlds. We fought for justice.
A turning point in man's search for freedom.
And created continent.
Tear down this wall.
But perhaps our greatest achievement isn't thanks to an athlete or an astronaut. It's at the very core of our country. Our greatest achievement is in your hands. Democracy 2020. Fox News. America is watching.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He just may be the most successful music composer ever. Sir Paul McCartney talks about how he wrote a song for a movie, which has become one of his most popular songs to perform live.
Say, live and let die.
I thought Live and Let Die is not the easiest title around, but I thought of the obvious thing, the original expression being live and let live. But I enjoyed writing it. I read the book, I think, on the Saturday, the Ian Fleming original book, rather than look at a film script, so that I'd get my take on it or my feel for it. And then on the Sunday, I sat down at the piano and came quite quickly. I wrote the song. And Linda wrote the little middle bit, which is like a little reggae bit. What does it matter to you? You've got a charge of it. Yeah, and that was it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
President Trump frequently touts the economy.
Our economy is the best it has ever been.
While we don't have polling to confirm best ever, I can tell you in our Fox News poll, 20% of voters rate the economy as excellent. That's a record high. Just 3% felt that way in the final month of the Obama administration. When we look at the combined number saying the economy's in excellent or good shape, it's 55%. It's been 19 years since this many felt as positively. Far more say President Trump and Republicans are responsible for the economy than point to former President Obama and Democrats. However, that cuts both ways. Half of those rating the economy positively credit the president. Among those giving negative evaluations, one-third blame him. Findings the president won't tout, a majority thinks the way the economy works is unfair, and nearly 4 in 10 think it'll take major changes to make it fair. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Welcome back, everybody. The news we're just digesting now, not that unexpected, but maybe if I asked you this last Friday before South Carolina, even though the Mike Bloomberg wasn't on the ballot then, but the second debate had just been done, if I told you he was going to drop out right after Super Tuesday, you probably said, no, that's way too premature. Look at how much money he has spent on this election. But after getting trounced in every state, walking away with only 5 delegates from America Samoa, Michael Bloomberg says, I have a lot of money, but I just don't want to throw it and burn it away. He has left the race and endorsed Joe Biden. So let me get this straight. Beto O'Rourke, Amy Klobuchar, Mayor Pete, and now Bloomberg left the race, all endorsed Joe Biden. Man, you can't say there's a conspiracy because it's all out front. But they know that Bernie Sanders would burn down the whole party. And, you know, the problem aside with Mike Bloomberg being too old, without charisma, being unable to talk about his record in New York City because so much of his record had to do with conservative views and being a Republican, cracking down on crime, being pro-law enforcement, being tough on unions, those are some fundamentals of the conservative movement, doesn't really fly in the Democratic primary system. So he is now out. It's just Biden and Bernie. Elizabeth Warren, your move. But now it's time for a special guest.
T-Pain is here to do recon with me.
I think it's going to be great. I have no fears, except for raw food. Not real good raw food.
We're going to put on these hats.
Oh, we're going in spy style.
We're going to walk in that line.
Come on in. Welcome to our very quiet bar.
Thank you.
We should probably toast before we eat this.
Yeah.
Because we may never live to
Absolutely.
Toast again.
It was good knowing you, man.
Look at this. This is not what a French dip is. Look at that sandwich. You're fighting with that thing. It's like a piece of leather.
Your love of sports has blinded you.
There are no other sports bars in Sacramento.
That's exactly the point.
You don't understand Sacramento sports like I do.
Well, then we're good. You don't need me.
I love this show. My whole family does. And I love this guy. John Tapper, host and executive producer of Bar Rescue, best-selling author and founder of the Tapper Mixologist. Bar Rescue is back for the seventh season on the Paramount Network. It premiered, believe it or not, it premieres on March 1st or just premiered on Sunday. It's on at 10 o'clock. But you see it all the time. They repeat it. John, welcome back.
Great to be here, Brian.
So, John, are you ready for a seventh season? Are you pumped up for this, or is it hard getting pumped up for another season after you had all the success that you've had?
Oh, no, I always get pumped up, Brian. I mean, look at the episodes you just showed. This is an ex-cop, works 30 years, puts his life savings into a sports bar in a destination area in Sacramento.
And?
There are no sports bars in that area. The demographics are completely wrong. I saved him. By getting him from that move and putting him into an historic environment, I think I might have saved the guy's future. So it's a lot more than a TV show to me, Brian. It's an opportunity to really make a difference and to go in and save these people. And when I hear who I'm going to save and what I'm going to do, yeah, even after seven seasons, and I'm doing my 194th episode now, I still get excited about it.
Because, you know, America is made up of small business owners, and so many times they're defined, communities are defined by the restaurants that they have, right? They want a place that they can call their own, and people want to get into this business, and they think it's going to be glamorous. It is hard work, and your success is really on how you do, how you perform in the little things. It's not necessarily one great idea. It's doing every little thing right.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I love about this business, Brian, is it's the ultimate family small business. You know, typically it's owned by a family, the husband, the wife, the brothers, the sisters. Everybody's involved in it. But it's not only that it's a family business. It's that it does business with families. It's the ultimate small business. You know, the second public building in America ever built was a bar. The first was a church. We had no city halls or anything. They were called public houses back then. They were the center of the community, Brian. And when they used to build them, they would put in snugs, they used to call them, which were little walls between each of the tables so that the priest could sit next to the bum and they could get along. Everybody would go. There were no differences. The wealthy, the poor, the politics, everything happened in these pubs. And they're a central part of life in America. And I look at them that way. So I'm not only helping a bar and a family. Hopefully, I'm creating something that'll connect with the community. That's really cool stuff.
And you don't drink?
Not at all.
So, you love bars. You don't drink.
I don't drink. I taste it, of course, and I'll sip on things. But years ago, when I got into this business, I said to myself, you know, for me, alcohol is going to be for selling, not consuming. And I think of the druggist. If a druggist is into drugs, that's not going to work out very well. So I decided not to be into alcohol.
John Taffer with us. You also have Taffer's Tavern. It's a concept restaurant bar. Where are you at with that?
Oh, well, our first unit's under construction now in Alpharetta, Georgia. It'll open in about 90 days. We're building it as we speak. We have almost 60 units committed now in various stages of development. But what I did, Brian, is I redesigned the restaurant business model. The entire kitchen is robotic, using sous vide cooking methods. So I've taken what would be a traditional labor cost in a kitchen, and I've cut it by 60% while improving food quality. So I think I'm redefining casual dining and creating a completely different approach to cooking food with exceptional quality. So I'm really excited about it, not just because it's a business, but because it's such a dynamic and changing business model.
Wow, that's so cool. You could own a franchise then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's franchises available now, and we're selling territories all across the country. And, Brian, I'm thrilled because I'm told it's the most successful restaurant franchise launch in history because we had commitments for almost 60 units before we built the first one.
I don't know about you, John. You sound much like the President of the United States. He always tells me he's it's the best ever, the biggest ever, the most important. Are you backed up by facts with this boast?
Of course. Of course. This is the restaurant trades that all are saying, just in great numbers. But you want me to sound like Trump? How about this, Brian? It's going to be huge.
So, John Tapper, in all honesty and candid, I'm an investor in Publicans on Long Island in Manhasset, and you came in. And I just said, hey, why don't you come in and have lunch and tell me what you think? And I thought you might say, yeah, I like the place. Next thing you know, you're breaking it down. You're ordering four dishes. You're looking at the size of the bun. You're talking about prices. You're looking at the menu, and you're making recommendations. You're watching the way the bartenders pour. And I like to think it's because we're friends, but you have such a passion for this. And you know, and you explained to me, that restaurants are successful or successes or failures on all these little things. You know, you would think it's a great item or a great chef. It's so much more than that.
Oh, it is. And what's scary, Brian, is if a restaurant does well, maybe it'll profit 18%, 18 cents on the dollar. If your food cost is a little high, now you're down to 12 cents. Your labor cost is a little high, now you're down to 6 cents. Your utilities run a little high, now you're down to 2 cents. Before you know it, the profits are gone. So we've all seen busy restaurants go out of business. That's the worst of all, Brian. Think about it. The food was good. They packed the place. They were doing really well, but they couldn't manage their costs. So they go out of business with revenue and with customers. So this is a business of control, and you've learned that with Publicans. But yeah. By the way, I did do it because I'm your friend.
But you're so into it. Bar Rescue, the seventh season of the Paramount Network. It started on Sunday, March 1st, but you got to watch it at 10. It does get repeated all the time. But, John, last question. America's driven by small business. How is the economy that you see?
Well, it's been wonderful, Brian, and you know, I've been touring the country talking about, you know, the amount of new business starts. I give about 40 speeches a year to various conventions around the world. And, you know, to me, coronavirus aside, this has been boomtown. The creation of small businesses. I mean, think about this. McDonald's, after 10 o'clock at night, is going to sell 1 million hamburgers by delivery. I mean, that's never existed before. So restaurants now have all these to-go opportunities, and retailers have delivery opportunities, and supermarkets have delivery opportunities. Rather than us having to go get the product now comes to us. And that's a real dynamic in the behavior of the consumer. Think about this. They'll buy a $2 taco and pay $3 to have it delivered.
We're a lazy country.
It's a real we are, but it's a real shift, Brian, in a dynamic of business. So I tell people this is a wonderful, wonderful time to enter business. Consumer confidence has been great. Disposable income is great. Our new tax structure has been great. Fact of the matter is the Trump economy has been very good for the consumer. It's been very, very good for the business owner who is consumer-based products. It's been wonderful times, but Corona scares me, Brian. And, you know, I'm a season ticket holder to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm talking to a sports nut here, but I didn't go to the game last night, and I haven't been to a game in a couple of weeks. I'm getting concerned.
You are.
And when I look at, you know, absolutely, I don't want to get sick, and I'm not saying it's an epidemic. Who the hell wants to get sick if this is out there? So, you know, I see it as impacting things, but the solution becomes delivery. And the fact is, do I choose not to go to the restaurant because of the virus, but I still want that burger, so I get it delivered.
You got it. John Tapper, go get Uber Eats or Grubhub. Bar Rescue, congratulations on the success. And go out there and buy a Taffer's Tavern franchise. You can't go wrong. John, thanks so much.
Take care, buddy.
You got it. Back in a moment. Now, listen, when we come back, it'll be with Varney and Company, so don't miss a minute. You'll find out what I look like.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Sponsored by Palm Beach Research. Text and data rates may apply.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is a household name in the USA. You've seen her on Fox News and across the internet for years. Judge Pirro speaks her mind, and she doesn't mince words when it comes to the hypocrisy from the deep state D.C. swamp. And now Judge Pirro is exposing the insiders and politicians who have been setting themselves up to make fortunes in the cannabis sector. In a surprising turn, dozens of D.C. insiders who have attacked marijuana for years are now plowing millions into backdoor cannabis investments. Judge Pirro's exclusive expose on this cannabis conspiracy is yours free when you text Judge to 48542 now. We'll send you a link to a video presentation that shows you who these politicians are and how you can take advantage of the same opportunities to profit that these D.C. insiders have been keeping to themselves. They have changed their thinking from lock 'em up to light 'em up. You can find out which companies are set for explosive growth. Text Judge to 48542. Get Judge Jeanine Pirro's expose on the cannabis conspiracy. Text the word Judge to 48542.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I recommend that patients taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol consider taking Qnall CoQ10 supplements with their prescribed regimen. Statin drugs may lower CoQ10 levels, which is an important nutrient for heart health. Qnall CoQ10 has the number one cardiologist recommended form of CoQ10. Qnall is the brand I recommend considering with your statin medication.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Every day in our community, tough breaks happen to honest folks. Layoffs happen to single parents. Evictions happen to families with babies. Empty bank accounts happen to hungry people. But thankfully, every day in our community, good people happen to bad things. Your sustaining monthly gift of just $25 doubles the Salvation Army's ability to assist our neighbors battling poverty and help them win. Join the fight for good at givewestwood.org. That's givewestwood.org. Sponsored by the Salvation Army.
As Biden has entered fight to the finish.
Trump's been knocked down. This is your campaign. We are very much alive.
We're going to win because the people understand it is our campaign. Let's go on to the White House.
Six new states come into play with critical delegates up for grabs. Every person counts. Brett and Martha anchor special coverage with insight and analysis from our all-star panel. Tuesday starting at 6 and 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. Democracy 2020. America is watching. Tuesday, it's a Fox News Radio Democracy 2020 special, hosted by Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, with key insight from Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krausauer and correspondents around the country.
So get back up and take back this country!
From Idaho to Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington, all the latest info on all six primaries.
We are the campaign to defeat Donald Trump.
Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen live on the Fox News app. As Biden and Sanders fight to the finish.
Trump's been knocked down. This is your campaign. We are very much alive.
We're going to win because the people understand it is our campaign. Let's go on to the White House.
Six new states come into play with critical delegates up for grabs. Every person counts. Brett and Martha anchor special coverage with insight and analysis from our all-star panel. Tuesday starting at 6 and 11 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. Democracy 2020. America is watching. Tuesday, it's a Fox News Radio Democracy 2020 special, hosted by Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern, with key insight from Fox News Radio political analyst Josh Krausauer and correspondents around the country.
So get back up and take back this country!
From Idaho to Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, and Washington, all the latest info on all six primaries.
We are the campaign to defeat Donald Trump.
Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen live on the Fox News app.
Now, the Brian Kilmeade Show joins Fox Business's Varney and Company with Stuart Varney, live on your radio and on Fox Business. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to be joining Stuart Varney in just a moment. We're watching the market, as is he. We're actually supposed to go on yesterday, but Super Tuesday and the market dropping. We took a break with Con. Today, it's up, I should say, we're up 530 points right now. We are going to talk about the election as well as the breaking news of Mike Bloomberg dropping out of the race and endorsing Joe Biden. So he is out. He was kidding around on Monday saying, why can't Biden dropout, but not anymore.
The Brian Kilmeade Show. Bloomberg is out, suspending his campaign. What's your take on that, Brian?
A couple of things. I'm just looking at some numbers. He spent $28 million just in Virginia, and they had him polling in second. I thought to myself, well, it'll be Sanders and Bloomberg. See if they, you know, because he basically put the whole legislature in there, the Democratic legislature in there, to overturn all their gun laws. And you would think the people of Virginia might rally around him. Instead, he finished in single digits. He spent $17 million in North Carolina. Just $170 million just to do well in the Super Tuesday states. It's an epic fail. Why? Because he actually governed as a mayor kind of like a Republican. He was strong on crime. He was pro-law enforcement. He cracked down on unions, but he was afraid to talk about that. He basically apologized for what he did, but said, vote for me by what I did. You can't do that.
He was no good on TV. I don't care what your policy is. I don't care what you're apologizing for in the past. You've got to be good on TV. You've got to be a dynamic character who controls the screen. You want to do well in politics, control the screen, do well on television. And he could not do it.
Stuart, I don't think you're wrong, but just look at his competition. Is Joe Biden good on television?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So if he was competent as a billionaire, but instead he just basically said, meet you in Super Tuesday. I'm not wasting my time in those little states. I like it, and here's why. Because people on the outside are looking at our system and thinking, well, Donald Trump's rich, he became president. What they don't realize, he never really spent much of his money doing it. He did one end, did the free media, took on all comers, and if Mike Bloomberg was successful, for now on, rich people would just be running for president or just financing the right man or woman. And to see Tom Steyer blow up and Bloomberg blow up made me feel better about the country and our process.
Agreed. I'm waiting for Elizabeth Warren to drop out. I would imagine she's going to do that fairly quickly, and that it really would be a two-person race.
It's a fine line, because the word is there's tension between the Warren camp and the Sanders camp. Now, if they keep pushing Elizabeth Warren hard to get out, she'll just get out and not endorse. They need her to get out, and they need her to tell go to Bernie. Because not only did Bloomberg get out, he said go to Biden. Mayor Pete said go to Biden. Klobuchar said go to Biden. Beto said go to Biden.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of 9%ers giving their 9% to somebody who needed it all and got it. So now they need Warren. The question for Warren is, do you want to spend the rest of your life with Bernie Sanders? Because you'll never lose that label. You're already not liked in your own state. The epic fail in New Hampshire got worse in our own state. So now, if she sides with Sanders and the squad, good luck with that at your Christmas party. It's going to be a lonely, lonely career as you finish out the string in Massachusetts.
But do you think she might want to be Bernie's vice presidential running mate?
Maybe, but they're the same people, just different genders. So you need somebody, a moderate, that's accepted by the mainstream if you're Bernie. You don't need another left-winger to join, just somebody that's a little bit younger and a different and a woman. That doesn't check as enough boxes for Bernie, who I think people are sobering up to right now.
Okay. I want you to deal with this real fast. A Democrat in Denver catching some heat for a tweet which suggested the spread of the virus spread it at Trump rallies. I think that's awful. What say you?
Number one, if you are a policeman on Twitter, which probably is a lucrative and very prestigious position, that is something you take down and you act on. You don't act on what you did yesterday, is took down a tweet that highlighted the gaffes of Joe Biden, because you don't need the Twitter police for that. You need Twitter police for this, because some morons are going to see that and say, yeah, I'm running a fever. I feel a little clammy. I failed the coronavirus test. I think I'll go hang out at a rally. It's just mean. And it just shows that we've gone so beyond, I hope we win. Now it's, I hope you die. Not good.
Yeah, I mean, this person is an obscure person. I mean, not some frontline politician, but I thought it was worth mentioning on the grounds that this kind of thing is popping up, and it's just mean, nasty, and vicious, and nobody's going to like it.
Right.
Brian, I'm out of time, but thanks for joining us, sir. See you again soon.
I was out of gas anyway, Stuart, so I have nothing else to say.
You're never out of gas. Never. Thank you, sir.
All right. Listen, 1-866-408-7669. So the big news is Mike Bloomberg is out. The bigger news is he endorsed Joe Biden. So he is, You know, we used to kid around about Rudy Giuliani had the Florida strategy. He knew he wasn't going to do well in Iowa and New Hampshire. He said, I'm leading in Florida, so I'll meet you there. And Huckabee fought it out with John McCain. By the time the whole, or was it Romney, by the time they got to Florida, Rudy had lost all his support. And he kind of made fun of himself. Mike Bloomberg will be symbolic for wasting money and looking at billionaire privilege. I can do it better. I know better. I don't need to raise money. I'm going to go to the battleground states. I'm going to run against Trump, not against my Democratic opponents. And I'm not going to talk about my record because I ran and governed as a Republican. Everything he did failed. Everything he did in business seemed to work. From 49 to 75, he's one of the richest, most successful people in the country. But he thought he knew better, and he failed. And he wasted a lot of money. I mean, it's not going to. He's not going to feel it. He's going to may spend $700 million, but it's an embarrassment. And for all those people who thought they were going to be on Bloomberg's payroll, for the people who leased offices, to those who gave up jobs to join the Bloomberg campaign and fight it out till at least July in Milwaukee, oops, you're done. Your move, Elizabeth Warren. We're about to find out if she's going to think about party and Bernie and her mission first, and that is to destroy billionaires and go for Medicare for all and try to socialize the country while claiming to be a capitalist. That train has left the station. I'm Brian Kilmeade. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show on a historic day after Super Tuesday where Joe Biden has shocked the world, but I, for some reason, don't think Donald Trump is worried.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Although he was the Speaker of the House from 1971 to 1977, Democrat Carl Albert of Oklahoma served in Congress since 1947. In a 1990 interview, Albert gave his impression of President Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson was the most politically oriented person I have ever known in my life. He thought nothing else. I remember being down on his ranch with him. He was taking me around, showing me his ranch, and he'd show me a deer or a cow or something. But before he got through the sentence, he started telling me, what can we do about so-and-so? He pushed all the time, and he would jump on people. He would yell at his office staff. He'd even yell at members of Congress.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.